Blog Talk Radio.
You're now tuned in to
Recording started.
Radio, the home of Lions Vibe Radio, Liberation Tabernacle Ministry, and much, much more. Talk radio that wake up the minds of the people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, sir, brothers and sisters. Yes, sir. How y'all doing out there? How y'all doing out there? Oh, we got some good for y'all tonight. We got some good for y'all tonight. But we get to the show, check this out. Hey, we got a good show. Well, a bit late tonight, y'all. We had to come in a little bit later, but than usual. But we in the house, man. We got a show tonight. Good topic of conversation, y'all. Have the black gods become useless to black people? Have the black gods become useless to black people? Ooh, we. What an interesting conversation. But first, before we get into that, we got a couple of things we want to throw after you right here. And we get live with this conversation today. We're going to do it. But first, before we get to that, let's do this like this here, man.
My mic on. Boy, I turn my mic on, boy. I make sure my mic is right. Boy, I got to do this here. All right. We ready. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Guess who's back up in this house? One more time. This is the apostle, the bishop, the reverend. Get more up in this house right here from Kate. Get right, Mississippi. Oh, yeah. Man, I know it's been a while, y'all, but I'm back up in this house right here on Culture Freedom Radio. Hey, I just come in the house right here to tell y'all how y'all can stay locked up and connected with Culture Freedom Radio, my favorite podcast when I'm not trying to study and get ready for my sermons on Sunday morning. Yeah, I keep it locked right here on Culture Freedom Radio. Man, they keep it raw. They keep it uncut podcast. I tell you. Man, that old Chief David, Rabbi David Israel, man. Hey, Chief, how you doing out there? How you doing out there, Chief Rabbi? I hear you doing your thing. But hey, check it out. You can catch Culture Freedom Radio right there on all the major podcasting sites such as iHeartRadio. Yes, sir. iHeartRadio. The Apple Podcast Store. Spotify. iTunes Radio. Hell, I almost said iTunes again. But you can catch them on all the major podcasting sites. Amazon. Yeah, I shop at Amazon, but I also listen to Culture Freedom Radio on Amazon Podcasting Store. Yes, indeed. Hey, man, y'all just do yourself a favor and make it easy on yourself and look for Culture Freedom Radio through Google, Bing, however you search for something, y'all. Y'all know how y'all do it. Just search for Culture Freedom Radio, and I guarantee you, you're going to find them everywhere. I got to get ready to get up out of here, y'all, because I got to do something here. I got to get ready for my sermon for Sunday. I ain't studied none at all. Sunray, give me my money, boy, for doing this damn commercial, boy. You better pay your tithes and offerings Sunday morning. You hear me? Hey, this is Reverend Gitmo, the Reverend, the Bishop, the Apostle Gitmo from Set It Off Baptist Church up in his house. Shalom, Chief. I got to go.
Yeah, man. Whoa, Reverend Gitmo back up in his house, man. Reverend Gitmo back up in his house, man. Hey, man, he's trying to man rob me of my money. I ain't telling him to pay him to do no damn good. Go on here, Reverend Gitmo. Always starting something like Mike said. Always want to be starting something. Reverend Gitmo, man. Bishop, the Reverend Popple. That man got a whole bunch of damn titles, man. But yeah, man, we up in his house tonight, man. That's your partner, man. Reverend Gitmo. Yes, sir. Oh, but man, we got a good show tonight lined up for y'all. Thought-provoking conversation anyway. Tonight. Right, Culture Freedom Radio Network. We want to be talking about something, man. Going a little bit on, I guess, a spiritual level and just something to think about tonight. Because and this conversation is coming about because something while I was at the other day buying my herbs and I saw and I shared this conversation with great Chief Rabbi David Israel. Said I'm breaking. Well, one second, but let me switch mics right fast. to the telephone. I use this mic, but that don't always work out. So I use my bag up. Okay, let me, while I'm doing that, let me play this commercial, and we're going to get into it. Let me switch my mic. Peace to you, my brothers and sisters. Peace to you out there. Oh, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? This is Brother Funray 9. Hey, brothers and sisters, I just want to invite you. Oh, yeah. I want to invite you to check out our new 24/7 music station. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes. Come and check out our new music station, 24/7. Yes, sir. Culture Freedom Radio. That's it. Culture Freedom Radio, man. For the best in classic hits. Yes, sir. Whether it's old school R&B, hip-hop, reggae, soul, funk, and much, much more. You need to come out and check out Culture Freedom Radio, man. We be jamming. We be jamming like Bob Marley says, yeah. We play the type of hits that'll keep you grooving indeed. Check it out. You can check us out right there on 365.com. That's 365 live, excuse me. That's live365.com. Oh, yes, sir. And you also can get the app. Yes, they do have an app. So you can listen to it on the go no matter where you are. You can listen to Culture Freedom Radio. Yes, you can get the app in the Google Store and the Apple Store. Yes, you can get those apps, the Live 365. Once you get that app, you can just search in the search engine on that app for Culture Freedom Radio. Yes, sir, there's Culture Freedom Radio. Not the network, but Culture Freedom Radio. And that way, you can hit that follow button, and you will have us locked in 24 hours a day. Come on over there and check us out, man, for great hits from, like, Lisa Stansfield. Y'all remember that band Around the World? Oh, yes, sir. We got the Dramatics from my old schoolers out there, the Dramatics. Y'all know we got to have some Temptations. We got to have the OJs. We got to have all of those in there. But we even have some India Irie. Oh, yes, sir. India Irie. Maxwell. And Till the Cops Come Knocking. We have things like that, man. Y'all remember Jesse Johnson? Oh, Can You Help Me? Oh, we got those all hits like that, man. Y'all just come on and join us right there on Culture Freedom Radio. Man, for the best in classic hits, we got it for you right there. Oh, indeed, man. We even got some hip-hop, y'all. Y'all remember De La Soul? Yes, sir, De La Soul. Me, Myself, and I. Oh, yes, sir, Me, Myself, and I be jamming, man. I listen to it all the time, man. When I'm at work, I got it locked right there to Culture Freedom Radio. I'm jamming as I'm working, so come on. We'd like for you to do the same thing. Come on, check it out. Culture Freedom Radio, 24-hour radio station. Oh, yes, sir. We are telling you so you can tell a friend that you be jamming with Culture Freedom Radio in the house, in the house, in the house. Yes, it's live. 365.com. Just live365.com and just search for Culture Freedom Radio and get the app as well so you can listen to it on the go and you can stay in tune. Me jamming. Woo! Thank y'all for tuning in right here, man. Sunray 9 is in the building and I'm finna go jam me some Culture Freedom Radio. Peace. I'm out. All right, I was talking hell, I'm muted, yeah. All right, y'all, I ain't gonna jam no Culture. I can't go and jam Culture Freedom right now, but I've been jamming it the rest of the day. I've been jamming it for the rest of the day, all day, and man, I'm telling y'all. But hey, let's get ready to get into it now. We're not gonna play the music right now, but we're gonna get into this show. And hey, Day, your mic open, brother. I hope I'm not breaking up anymore. I hope everything is clear. You know, so I've been using that this the desktop. It only break up on when I'm Blog Talk in on Talk Show in. It don't break up. So I like so we simulcasting both sites, but when I use my regular studio microphones, it only breaks up on Blog Talk in. It don't break up on the Talk Show in. But I'm just gonna go ahead and just use my telephone and close off this other mic. But, yeah, today we wanted to talk about something, Chief. You know, first let me give me a sound check, Chief. You hear me pretty good, Chief? And I'm not breaking up anymore. Yeah. You can just let me know in the text or whatnot before I start.
style.
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, appreciate that. Let me just lay this out right fast, Chief. And Shabbat Shalom to all my brothers and sisters out there from the Hebrew nation, Hebrew tribe, Israelite tribe, Kwam Yashiali, and Shabbat Shalom to all of y'all out there, man. Hallelujah. But I was telling, like I was talking to the brother Chief, and I was telling him, you know, I was at a shop the other day where they happened here in Memphis, where the only place they basically that I know of that they sell herbs at, and I was trying to get me some herbs. Not the herb that you smoke, y'all. Hell no, not that herb. I'm talking about herbal tea. And I like to drink burdock. It's a root, herb called a burdock root. And it's a good blood purifier and things of that nature. You know, if you got colds or whatnot, it's good for that too. But I like to drink that burdock root. And so I went in this store. It's a store here called Ebo's in the city of Memphis. And I told y'all about this several times, this store. And I just kind of paid attention to it just this time. And it's owned by what we call Caucasians, Europeans of descent, you know, whatever. And I have seen somebody who's black, so-called black work there, but it's owned by these so-called Europeans or Caucasians. But as I'm in there waiting in line to get me some herbs, I look down right by the counter. They had an altar there. And I never liked that. I never paid attention to it. If it was there before, I never really paid attention. I hadn't been in a while, though. But they had an altar. They said, they had a sign that said, this is a please do not touch because this is a active altar. And on that altar, I look, right? Y'all do know what an altar, y'all brothers and sisters who out there. I know y'all do it in the so-called conscious community and the people who listen. I know y'all know what it is. But anyway, on that altar, some of the things I saw, and that was a candle. One candle that I seen that was lit then was a candle to Oshun. And then there was a candle to, let me see, there was some more. I can't remember all the different candles. But the one that I noticed that was lit was the Oshun candle. And all around it, all the different masks and things they had, like masks lit, ornaments, figurines, they were all African deities, what pretty much said gods and things. And, you know, I was like, whoa, damn. So I started looking around. I'm still waiting in line. Now, even though I go back to that altar and it says, please do not touch because this is a live altar. And this is for, what it says, something about offerings and something else it had said. It was about, you know, because he was letting you know what it was about, the offerings, and it was some more things. I forgot off the top of my head what they had mentioned about the altar. But all the deities that was on that table were black deities or African deities. And then, I'm standing in line, I started looking around. This is how I looked up, because they got figurines, you know, and the statues they sell in there, too. So I looked right above my head. There's a shelf there right beside of me in the top. I seen all the comedic statues and a lot of different statues. And I saw a few African masks. So I'm like, damn, okay. I said, I ain't never seen them before. So I started looking around the store at the top, all around the wall at the very top, all around the store, they had African masks all around. Y'all know the African masks and things, right? You know, they have in Africa. They were all around the store. I was like, damn, ain't no pay that no attention. Like, damn. But the thing here, what I'm saying is that we see here's these Caucasians, Europeans giving offerings and asking, making peace offerings and asking to these deities, paying homage to these African deities. And damn, I said I was going to get this. And I'm going to pull this one up as the chief of the talk. Do y'all remember when Pastor Paula White, she was doing, I don't know what the hell was going on. I don't know if it was COVID or something happened, and Paula White was doing this stuff, and people was tripping out like, what the hell is she was doing? What the hell is she doing? She was like, she was praying, but she started calling on, she was doing some kind of prayer. She was calling on somebody at first. Then she started calling on African deities. You know how they be trying to say they speaking in tongues, but she was calling on the African. I'm going to pull that clip up when I'm wise, the rabbi get to talking. I'm going to pull that up, man, and let y'all hear. But see, the thing about it, they know. If, you know, and some people say, well, they know who we are. It's not about they know who we are. They know who the true power and really the gods are. Now, let me say this. I got to correct myself. I correct myself, but make this plain. Now, as an Israelite, I'm not saying that all of these different deities, these gods, is what we would say as Israelites are most high power. But I'm just saying they know that the spiritual things of these gods or whatever, all of the things that goes back to blacks or black people or the deities that our people called on and used to call upon in reverence at one particular time as a power. Because like we say, most of this word y'all see in Hebrew, y'all see a word called Elohim. They tell y'all this word Elohim, right? They tell y'all it means gods. But we said in the ancient Hebrew, or some say Lashawan Kadash or Paleo Hebrew, we said the word Alahayim. And the word Alahayim means power in English, the power. Or some say the mighty one. So we reverence this. We know the power. And even in Islam, they say Allah only means the source. So we know this source. We don't say these gods. That's why especially y'all out here in the tabernacle class, I don't like to refer to that word God. But for this particular conversation we're having tonight, I use this term tonight. But they're making offerings and to these gods or black spiritual deities or powers or whatnot. And somehow you got to wonder, this is what keeping them in power. I don't want to talk too long, but I want to let the chief come in. And we're going to get into this, man, because we're going to throw out some stuff to make you think. Because most of our people now, y'all will see, like especially here in America now with this conscious thing, what most of our people say, I don't deal with religion. I don't deal with God. I don't believe in that. I don't do so-and-so. Like I said, one thing is what you don't, there's some other people who have. And I had a book that was from a Christian thing. They said it's one, whatever God that one person left alone, or what God that was old to one people is now a new God to some other people. And that's exactly what have happened. Everything so-called what we had, and now we walked away from it, and so-called African-Americans or black people in America, I don't fuck with that no more, because all of this stuff that a lot of people have been telling you, oh, man, that God stuff, man, you know, that ain't real. But you read in history with all that was in Africa or whatever. And like I said, they built certain civilizations. Basically, all of these wonderful civilizations that we always read about and we study, they didn't just build them just for no goddamn reason. They built them a lot of time to appease their deities, their gods, their civilizations. Even the Romans and the Greeks did the same thing. They built things to appease these gods. So even when you try to look at Kemet and you magnify Kemet, like a lot of our brothers and sisters do, they built these civilizations and things to appease the gods. But we're going to get into that, man. I want to get the chief in here. Shalom, Shabbat shalom to you, chief. Shabbat shalom, man. How you doing, brother? Get Reverend Gilmore and then your partner back.
Shabbat shalom. Wait one second. Let me do something.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yeah, we're gonna get into this, man, because you know it's a trip, like you know.
All right,
everybody.
All right, all right.
Go ahead.
Shabbat shalom.
Shalom. Yes, sir. Loud
and clear. Hey, how y'all doing? I would like to say Shema Yisrael, or the Nalahenu, or the Nakat, or Barokatad, or Nalahenu, Malachalom. I would like to say Shabbat shalom. I would like to give shouts to Live Vibes Radio, Culture Freedom Radio. I'd like to give shout outs to Liberation Tabernacle Ministry of Yah. I would like also give a warm thank you to my fellow brother in ministry, my brother who believes in Yah, Elohim. I would like to give no other thanks to our good, dear, beautiful brother. I speak of no other than Moray Ariah Israel. So I'd like to thank him for, you know, for holding it down. I know y'all been, you know, he's been holding out the fort for the tabernacle for the last 2 weeks or so. Yeah, I will let him know I got his back, and he got my back. And I appreciate this brother because, you know, I had, not to get sidetracked, but I had kind of fell off for a little bit. And I meant, you know, like Christians say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I came up short at one point. And the brother, you know, reached out to me. You know, it was a time when me and him, you know, we kind of went our separate ways. And understandable. You know, as family, sometimes you have to, you know, we have to sometimes separate for a little bit. But I heard the brother was looking for me. And I said, you know what? To say, when my sheep hear my voice, they come running to me. And so, you know, me and him, we both lost sheep in the house of Israel. And, you know, the brother, I reached out to him, and he reached out. He said, brother, he said, brother, you know, I've been thinking. And, you know, brother, it's time for us to get back right with Yah. And the brother said, I would love to be able to get back with you, brother. And let us come together like the singer Sweet Sable said, for old time's sake.
Yes, sir.
And so we've been back together. And I couldn't have no other brother in ministry than this dear brother right here. And, you know, he's on my right, and I'm on his left. And like I said, the scriptures say, Psalms 133 and 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so in this world right now, us as so-called Black Americans, we have to unify. From the tribe of Judah, I don't care what the hell y'all believe in, and we're going to get into that tonight. Me and Amore, me and him, we are both ministers of Yah. We're going to get into that tonight. You know, because so much confusion. Like Temptation said, bowl of confusion. My. All right. I had something in my mouth. I had just been eating me a fish sandwich for Shabbat. So, yeah. So like I said, good to be back in the house. Shabbat Shalom. And welcome to Live Vibe Radio, Culture Freedom Radio, Liberation Tabernacle Ministry of Yah. And me and this brother, we back in here. And also, I would like to, before I start, I would like to give a shout out, because I heard brother came back in, Reverend Gitmo. He gave me a shout out. So I'd like to say, Reverend Gitmo, Thank you for the shout out. I'm glad you've been listening. I hope you've been learning, bro. Hey. Reverend Gitmo gave me a shout out. I can't believe it. Yeah, but I sure do thank you for setting off Baptist Church in Can't Get Right, Mississippi. You know, I love you, brother. And me and Maury Aria, we just want you to come back to these laws, statutes, and commandments. When you start preaching that in your damn church, then we'll be right. We'll follow you, bro. Not follow you, but we will be there. So I would like to. So before I get into this, I'm going to go to a scripture. Get out my Bible. I know a lot of y'all brothers and sisters out here, y'all know, you know, Torah. We Old Testament. So I'm going to get a scripture real quick. Let me get this out. And it's going to be in the book of Psalms. And this is going to be in the book of Psalms, too. Okay. Let's go to Psalms 96. And I'm going to go to Psalm. Matter of fact, before I go to Psalm, I'm going to lay this down. Psalms 96 and 5. Y'all know that's in Hebrew, it's Tahilim. Psalm 96 and 5 says, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." So David, who was an excellent fighter in Israel, he lets you know that all the gods of these nations are idols. Now, there's another scripture that I wanted to get into because, you know, as we're going on tonight, we're going to move right along. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 10 and 8. Jeremiah 10 and 8. Jeremiah 10 and 8. And we gonna speed right along, and you know, I'm gonna lay out the foundation. Jeremiah 10 and 8. Jeremiah 10 and 8. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, right on down to the 8th verse. It says, "But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is bought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. The work of the workmen in the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men." But after the 10th verse, it says, but the Adonai, Yah, he is the living God and an everlasting king. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." So when we're talking about Yah is the true and living creator. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Which we say in Hebrew, Shema Israel, Adonai. Now, we're getting into these idols tonight. Now, a lot of these brothers and sisters, they getting into, you know, we know Christmas. Y'all, you know, follow Satan Claus or Santa Claus. Y'all follow the Easter Bunny. Some of y'all follow Fard Muhammad. Some of y'all follow Jesus Christ. And when we're getting into Jesus Christ, when we getting into a lot of y'all Christians and Messianic brothers and sisters, you all stand out on the corner and y'all teach that Yahawashah is coming back. We have Hebrews who are so foolish. Messianic Hebrew brothers and sisters. I would like to get this down. A lot of y'all Messianic brothers and sisters, y'all believe that Yahawashah coming back. Y'all believe that there's this pie in the sky and the sweet by and by after you die. Now, I'm going to go to these 24 and 36. I'm going to break down that bullshit right now for all the Christians. The Christians is the first fucking one on the chopping block tonight. Y'all Messianic brothers, y'all the first on the chopping block tonight. Matthew's 24 and 36. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So you all glorify in these Messianic camps. Yahawashah coming back. Now that scripture just says, no man knoweth the time or the hour. Now, Jesus, or Yahawashah crucified. Everybody know that. Didn't he get crucified, Maury?
No, did they?
Got crucified. Now, Jesus Christ, Yahawashah, got killed. Now, it's crazy that you all worship this Yahawashah. Now, this Yahawashah is supposed to be the one that's going to come back, going to rescue the children of Israel. Now, some of y'all say that Jesus and Yahawashah, y'all, they're one. They're one, Yeshayah. Y'all say that they're the equal to God. Oh, yeah. Now, if Yahawashah is, or Yeshayah, Yeshua, is the beginning and the end. Now, this going to go into it. This going to cut the Christians. Why the fuck if Yahawashah and Yeshayah is equal to the Creator? Why the hell would God let somebody kill him? If God and Jesus are the same, and he says that I am one with my Father, why the hell, if God got all his power, why would he allow some people to nail his ass on the cross? See, a lot of y'all Messianic Hebrew brothers, Y'all talk about this Jehovah signing Jesus like y'all give him more praise than y'all give the Adonai. Now, we're going to look into the history of Yahweh Shai's character. We're going to see where they get this character from. Right? We're going to get into where they get the character from. Let me get this. I'm going to go to, and you all know, I got my from Babylon, Timbuktu. Y'all already know. Okay. So we're going to go right on in here. Okay. Two daughters of Judaism. The offspring of Judaism are coordinate from Babylon, Timbuktu, page 49. It says, the offspring of Judaism are Christianity and Islam. Now history was repeating itself. The proponents of Christianity said to the Jews, we accept your Bible and your morals and monotheism. Only receive from us Jesus Christ for your house. The great prophet, the Messiah, of whom all the prophets spoke in the scriptures, because the Jews refused. They were despised and hated. So while you all are praising this Jesus Christ character, Yahweh Shai character, something that I want you all to see. I want you all to see something. Now, Christianity, the messianic way, and Islam, they both were started with the Catholic Church. I'm finished reading. It says, Muhammad tried to construct his religion as closely as he could after the Jewish religion. He favored the Jews by accepting many of their laws and traditions. When the Jews refused to be converted, he commanded his followers to stop turning to the holy city of Jerusalem in prayer, but rather turn to the city of Mecca. He changed the Jewish Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, a fast day, which he had accepted for the month of Ramadan. Muhammad changed the Hebrew Sabbath from Saturday to Friday, which y'all call Jumu'ah prayer. We have another parallel with Christianity in the 4th century. The church changed the Sabbath to Sunday and recognized its calendar to make Easter separate of Passover. Like Christianity, also Muhammad included in his Bible the Quran, the accusations concerning the Jews. Nevertheless, the Quran glorifies many biblical personalities. In order to win the pagans into the church, Christianity adopted many barbaric customs, whilst Muhammad, to gain the loyalty of the pagan Arabs, adopted many of their customs. The Kaaba stone and idol was received high regard in his new religion. Also, the pagan temple of Mecca remained as a holy site. Okay, now, when we're looking at what they just said and from Babylon Timbuktu, the idols. Now, we're looking at the idols of Islam. They worship the Kaaba stone, right? Now, when we're looking at the Kaaba stone, it's just a goddamn rock. Now, we, you know, y'all know me, Ariana been Muslim, and I was Muslim for one point in my life. I'm going to tell you something. I would go to the mosque on Fridays. I would make salat. I would set my prayer cup to the east. They say, "Udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim, ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim wa dhalin." Amen. Now, there was times where I really needed Allah. And y'all say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never came. This nigga never came. Now, that's something that I want a lot of you Sunni Muslim brothers to look at. Y'all Sunni Muslim brothers out there. Now, supposedly, if you, okay, in Mecca, the Kaaba stone is this black rock, right? Kaaba stone is this black rock. After you take your, you walk around, you got to walk around the Kaaba stone, you know, y'all Allahu Akbar, all this. Now, if you all, you know, as black men, you know, that call yourself Sunni Muslims, ask me this, because I used to ask my imam all the time. I say, if we're praying east towards the Kaaba stone, what power does this rock have? What power does this goddamn rock have? Because, Ari, I know, hell, you, hey, your people from the South, my people from the South, I'd have been on dirt roads. I'd have been, I grew up on 5 acres of land. Huh, I grew up in the woods. I grew up where, you know, you had the rocks, you know, all over the ground, you know, and hell, even when you go to the beach, you see the little sand pebbles of rocks and shit. Now, you got to ask yourself, if Prophet Muhammad, he said, pray east towards the Kaaba stone. I would ask my imam, now, if the Kaaba stone, according to Prophet Muhammad, is God, right? And it's just a fucking stone. What power does this stone or this rock have? My imam said, Allah is within the Kaaba stone. I said, no. So important and so, you know, fascinating about this big-ass rock. I grew up in the country. You grew up in the country, too. Now, you know damn well you pick up a rock on the side of the motherfucking street. If you pray to that fucking rock, you know ain't that rock ain't going to answer you. Now, that's something that, you know, when I got into later on, when I started to break away from Islam, something I want you all to look at with this Kaaba stone. While y'all black folks, y'all praising Allah, y'all praying to the Kaaba stone, you praying to the Christian cross, something I want you all to look at. When you're looking at that Now, when you're looking at rocks and shit, having power, there's some other people that believe that rocks have power. They're called witches. Now, I'm going to get something in, you know, since, you know, I know you all, you know, I'm gonna get this out for you, cause there's a something I want you all to look up. We all get a chance. A talisman. Now, I know y'all black Muslims, y'all gonna get fucked up when I say this, and I don't give a fuck. I'm tired of y'all black Muslims. Y'all make me sick, y'all Sunni niggas in your Islam. So, when we're looking at the Kaaba stone, that rock that y'all pray to. Now, there was something I started to look into. Now, there's people who worship rocks, who believe that rocks and stones and pebbles have power. These people are called witches. Witches call these rocks talismans. Definition of a talisman is an object, typically an inscribed ring or stone, that is thought to have magic powers and to bring good luck. Now, when we're looking at Islam, I'm gonna get deep into this, because a lot of y'all black Muslims, y'all ain't get shit done in y'all community. Black Muslim brothers, y'all ain't get shit done anyway. Now, when we're looking at, there was a show back in the day, Charmed. Now, the show Charmed is pretty much was about these young girls who was into witchcraft, and y'all remember the show, y'all know who I'm talking about. But when we're looking at, okay, them girls had the talismans. They was always praising this rock and always believing this rock had this. Now, when we're looking at voodoo, right, we're looking at witchcraft, right? Now, I'm going to tie this in with the Islamic idol of Prophet Muhammad, and I'm going to tie this into the Jesus Christ or Yahweh Shai, because y'all don't know what y'all praying to. And maybe this is the reason why y'all niggas ain't getting nowhere.
Hey, Chief.
I'm going to go to Matthew 2 and 2.
Hey, Chief Rabbi.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? It's Justice, man. Peace to you guys tonight.
Let me finish that while I got to say Justice.
Let me ask
Matthew,
you something.
Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew, the first verse. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born the King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship. Now, for y'all messianic brothers and sisters, now I'm going to tie this into this Kaaba stone and these pebbles that these Muslims overseas worship. Okay. Jesus was a star in the east. Now, I broke this down plenty of times, these stars, five-point stars. And for y'all niggas out there, we ain't talking about Star David. They ain't the same thing. So the five-point star, right, is representing Jesus Christ. Now, when we're looking at witch doctors, right, now, just think about it. Star in the east is what they call Jesus. Now, switch that around. That's the eastern star, which are the female's version of masonry. Now, y'all better watch out for what the fuck y'all praising, especially with these idols. Because y'all don't know who these people really are. Because Jesus, according to that scripture, he is the star in each. He is pretty much the devil, pretty much. You don't know. Matter of fact, they call Jesus Lucifer. When you're looking at an Aria, I don't know if you can pull up that one of them Bibles. I know you got a whole bunch of Bibles at your house. There are certain Bibles that refer to Jesus as Lucifer. Now, y'all worship this Jesus shit, okay? Now, when we're looking at these five-point stars, and a lot of your church pastors, a lot of them are Eastern stars, okay? Let me get this scripture out. Okay. So you'll get this scripture out. I'm going to get this scripture out because, you know, and Ari, I don't know if you can pull up one of your Bibles where they put Lucifer in. Now, I know you know. I'm going to get this scripture right here. I'm going to go to this. Okay. Now, Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah 14:12. Because y'all need to, you know, when y'all worshiping some of these gods and shit, y'all don't know who y'all worship. Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah 14:12, it says, "And how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which thou weakened the nation?" So you're looking at they're saying that the bright and morning star, Lucifer, weaken the nations by praising them. I'm going to get y'all Christians and y'all Muslims straight real quick. I'm going to go to Revelations Revelations 22 and 16. Y'all think we just be bullshitting up there, and we don't. Revelation 22 and 16, because y'all going to wonder why y'all ain't getting no goddamn word in this word. Shit. Y'all praising the wrong fucking deity. Revelations 22 and 16 says, forget that shit. I'm going to go up to the 15th verse. Revelation 22 and 15. It says, for without our dogs. No. I'm going to go up this scripture. I'm going to go up to the 14th verse. Revelation 22 and 14. Blessed art thou that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So this is telling y'all, follow the commandments. Follow Allah's statutes and commandments. So now follow no Jesus and no Allah, none of that. It says, round down to the 15th verse, it says, for without our dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So y'all Christians and y'all Muslims, y'all don't believe in the law. Y'all don't believe in the law. You don't believe in the statutes or commandments. Now, maybe that's why the conscience community is so fucked up. Maybe that's the reason why they got the corner stores all in your neighborhood selling you pork, drugs, and everything else. Because they ain't got the law, statute, commandments. So, Revelation 22 and 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm going to go back some. Ari, you know what I'm about to do. You already know Isaiah 14 and 12. Let's get back to that. Because the bright morning stars will be Lucifer. Wow. So maybe that's the reason why black churches ain't going no fucking where. You get these same old Jerry Curl wearing Cadillac driving pastors that y'all go to the altar, ask them to pray for you, and y'all don't get shit from them fucking prayers to Jesus. Maybe that's why he got y'all praising the bright morning star, Jesus. Isaiah 14, 12 says, I'm going to go back to this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? So Lucifer is, and Jesus is pretty much the same thing. Jesus, Lucifer, the same thing. And does he star in the east? It's something I want to bring up to y'all. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The devil is, and Lucifer is in hell with a pitchfork. Y'all say, y'all going straight to hell, y'all point down. Now listen at this. Now listen at this, Aria. I'm about to break this shit down. If the devil is underneath the ground, well, pitchfork Lucifer. Why the fuck is he coming down from heaven? It is the God which y'all praise, Jesus Christ. Is the devil in the sky? Maybe we got fucked up. Maybe we got fucked. Maybe we've been smoking that herb that REI bought from the damn health food stuff. Maybe that's got my mind fucked up. But I'm just saying, how the fuck is Lucifer coming from heaven? I thought God was in heaven. So is God and Lucifer, is they the same person? Now, Elijah Muhammad asked this question. Why do you love the devil? You know this, because the devil gave him you nothing. Didn't Elijah Muhammad say that? He said, why do you love the devil? Because the devil gave you nothing. So is your Jesus, is that the reason why y'all ain't getting nowhere? Because of Yahusha being Lucifer, the Yeshaya being Lucifer, this being the gods of hell. Shit, maybe that's the reason why y'all ain't getting nowhere. I don't know. Maybe that loud got my mind fucked up. You know, but you know, I'm just saying. Maybe I don't know. When you looking at, when you're looking at Baphomet, right? Which Jesus Yahawashi is Baphomet. Prophet Muhammad, another way of saying Muhammad is Baphomet, which is the hermaphrodite, demonic devil goat. Now, Jesus ain't never had no fucking churn. Prophet Muhammad. Baphomet. They say he was always hanging around eunuchs and shit. So, was Prophet Muhammad, was he, it was him and Baphomet the same person? Because it's crazy because the Muslims get their shit from the Catholic Church. Pray with the rosary beads on. And hell, they claim that they go into confession and confess to the priest. Then you have all your sins wiped away. How the fuck can a man wipe your sins away? So, when we're looking at the Muslims, Baphomet and Prophet Muhammad, y'all have to look at, I broke this down. R.V.I., you remember, I broke this down long ago. The reason why black people ain't getting nowhere, we worshiping the devil instead of worshiping Yah. Because Yah and the devil ain't the same person. But for some reason, Prophet Muhammad, Yahawashi, Jesus Christ, that seem to be the same motherfucker. They seem to be the same motherfucker. And that's something that I want to get into also. Now, why is it that when you're going through, you know, a stage like sleep, which I suffer from sleep apnea and what do you call that shit when you sleep paralysis. I suffer from that too for years. Now, I remember when I was back when I was Muslim, you know, and I fell in, and you know, anybody going to get sleep paralysis, y'all know, you know, you can't feel your body. You can't speak. It's like you under a deep spell where you cannot move. You can, your eyes are open, you see everything, but you cannot move.
Yep.
Now, let me ask you something. When I was in Islam, I had sleep paralysis bad. Now,
damn.
I remember, and this is some real shit, I remember being in that trance. And I started, like, even though you can't say nothing, you can't feel like you can't move, I started mouthing Bismillah Rahman Rahim. And like they said, Uti Bilai Minishitana Rajim, which means I curse Satan and seek refugee voila. Now I said that, and for some reason my eyes just wide, like felt like it was just like I couldn't move. Now I couldn't see shit. All of a sudden I said, in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, my eyes opened back up. Now, is Jesus a witch? Are we praising a witch?
No, he your savior. He opened up your eyes. He woke you. He straightened you out because you said some kind of curse that you put on yourself from the Islam. But the Jesus, when you said Jesus, that picks you straight up.
No, but it's kind of strange.
Well, why would you reverse it and say he was the witch, and that helps you out? And the other thing was the witch, which the curse that you put on yourself by reciting that ritual that made you go blind for a minute, and then you said Jesus, and then your eyes opened back up, and it was clear.
Yeah, but it's crazy, though.
It is. I had a miracle happen to me one time. I had a whole miracle happen to me one time, and it was about Jesus, and it was a miracle performed with the dictates of using the apparatus Jesus, the Christ figure, or the spiritual connection to the Father, the Mother, the Trinity, whatever. However, but that I had a miracle happen to me on the same type tip. So, I don't know, man. Like, I thought it was strange, too, and nobody would believe me, but it really happened.
Hey, Justin, but let me ask you something, too, with this. Now, listen at this. Now, I got to say this. Now, do you see, especially when we look to Matt and Aset, some of y'all call Jesus whores. If these gods were so helpful, why the hell you see all these brothers in jail? Or every nigga in jail got some kind of fucking religion. How come if jail and penitentiary is pretty much a secret fucking institution for learning. A lot of people don't consider it that, but most brothers, though, damn well they get locked up, they learn more than when they was out. Now, ask this shit. These jailbirds, prison motherfuckers, got all this knowledge. Now, and they got all this power to Allah God. How come Allah God ain't busting none of the motherfuckers out the prison? Hell, Mumia Abu-Jamal, they say he a messianic Hebrew Rastafari. He believe in Yeshua. He believe in Jesus. Why the fuck he ain't out of jail?
Well, the point of the matter is, if he believed in any of that, that he was given a death penalty sentence. Like, he's supposed to have been dead a long time ago, but his life was spared. And so you can chalk that up to the Most High and the people who was going, out to the protests and standing up for him and saying that, he was given an unfair trial and that he shouldn't die with lethal injection. And so after all of that, the judge granted him a life without parole and a life in jail instead of being killed on death row. So, I mean, it could have still something, you know, could be something there. And then he still might get out of there. There's still people going to bat for him. He still got a chance to come out of that piece.
Hey, Justin, I want to know this. These niggas in jail got all this knowledge about God, but they stay fucking locked up.
I can answer that one real simple. It's like you can believe in it. You can believe anything. You can believe in whatever and say you believe. But for one thing is, are you living the tenets of what you say you believe? It's like you say, brother, there's many brothers who say they're Hebrews or Israelites. But that don't mean that they follow the Torah or they follow what, you know, was prescribed or the Torah say. And that's what it is. You know, a lot of, but like hell, I'm gonna say this. When I was practicing Islam, I tell y'all, I was the worst goddamn Muslim ever. I was the worst example as a Muslim. I wouldn't holler keep. I start off Ramadan, but I wouldn't never complete it. I wouldn't do none of the stuff I'm supposed to do. And so it's like, and that's what it is, man. You know, it's on that individual. It has nothing to do, you know, it's like, it's just the individual, man. I would say that. Many people believe in a lot of stuff and just that they don't, like most Christians say, well, I'm a Christian. They go to church, you know, say I'm a Christian, but they don't live up to the tenets of it. And that's what anything, Hebrews too, Israelites too. You know, we see some wild-ass Israelites out here. How you're supposed to follow tradition of being an Israelite. They don't do, some people don't do that. You know, so it's the individual. Yeah, it's the individual, man. And some brothers find, get in there, and I'll stop on this one, but some brothers, when they're in there, they actually find a way and come out to be great people, man. They might find, as we say, find their way to the Most High in there. They might have been some wild-ass people before they went in there. I mean, wild-ass, crazy-ass people, man. And they went in there, and like even we see with Malcolm. See how the transformation with Brother Malcolm. Before he went to jail and how he got, I was the same way. I was a wild ass dude. I didn't care nothing about God or hell, nothing, point blank, period. Till I got in there and, you know, situation and it changed my life. It took, you know, a couple of times if I went in and out. But for brothers who in there, man, that is a place where a lot of brothers find themselves.
That's,
you know,
right.
What some people say, find God at. So
right. And that's themselves.
And it is. Yep. They just find themselves. And most brothers say, man, and I've heard it several times. And brothers say, hey, man, like your mama and dad was trying to tell you on the street, hey, bro, you need to sit down. You need to sit yourself down. You need to do this. You wilding out or you doing this. You're going down the wrong path. Do so-and-so. And I've heard many times I used to be in jail, brothers say, hey, man, we used to be in a prayer circle like time. They have it in jail sometime in prayer circles. I know they didn't do it in Memphis. I don't know about everybody else. Brother have a prayer circle. They have a prayer call. And most of them be Christians. And brothers will say, hey, man, I believe them all. They'll say, you know, they'll say it like this. Man, God put me in here for a reason because I wouldn't listen to him in the street. I wouldn't listen to him when I was out in the world. He was trying to reach me, but now he got me in a place. I'm sitting in this cell. Now I can listen to God. God has been telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And a lot of brothers,
faith
man.
To my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and most of them, like I said, most of them be Christian. But they will say that, man, God put me in here for a reason, man, to get to talk to me, because I wouldn't listen to nothing in the world, because you got the world out there. You got clubs, you got the other stuff that's going on, and you got so much to compete against. Like he said, this is the way you're going to sit my tail down while I can listen now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what a lot of brothers find. They find where we say God or find themselves in jail. But go ahead.
And, you know, we might say we don't believe in Jesus, or we don't believe that he existed with that name, or we might say we don't subscribe to Jesus. Or you might feel the opposite. But in any case, this is what I've determined. There's power in the name Jesus, no matter what, just because. Now, there's some people who all kinds of things have happened to them, and they said Jesus, and the miracle happened because they said that and uttered that word. Now, I mean, you can go down the list, and there's plenty of testimonies. I mean, I can just imagine, okay, somebody's getting robbed, a lady's getting stuck up, and she pleads the blood of Jesus on him. And the dude runs, he gets scared. He runs away because he know deep down inside he's wrong. And he came up some kind of way knowing about that Christ-like figure that one of them called Jesus. So in that case, in a lot of cases like that, when someone is doing something to someone, it's like they might try to rape them, say something, they go off on a Jesus type tip and say something like that way, because another lady might not say that, and she might end up getting raped. But this other lady, she's pleading Jesus on the guy and everything, and he's like, oh, man, I don't want to mess with this religious lady and all, you know, whatever going on in his mind. So then somebody might be in an accident. Like, they on a bridge, and there's some ice, and then they car get going sideways and all kinds of other ways. And they, oh, Jesus, right? It's your mom or your aunt. Somebody, they say, Jesus. And then the car straighten up, and they don't get messed up, and everything be okay, because somehow they got faith in the Lord and faith in the Creator in the way and how they believe that that's their God and how that works for them. And a lot of people are connected to that, whether they know it or not, especially if you're about to do something bad to somebody and they pull Jesus out on you, then you might just have a little reality check on your own conscience and knowing that, you know, right from wrong, and you know you're doing wrong. And so it's just like, you know, we can say this and that, or, you know, I can totally dismantle Jesus right now. I mean, take away the whole Jesus figure and erase the whole idea of it, but what good is that going to do? Like, okay, I can do that, and I can make it factual and actual, but it's not really necessary to do that because there's too many people who have a belief system already in place that works for them, and a lot of them are more moral and more righteous than those who claim to be in their religious practice, you know, as a righteous person. In some cases, these Christians are more righteous than other people in denominations. So you can't really castigate, you know, all groups. Or it's like Sunray was saying, it's on the individual, on how he conducts himself, how his character is, how they practice their religion or their connection to the Creator or the God or whatever, however you say, whatever, however you feel. It's just, we gotta have to have, excuse me, got a little choked up, I'm too close to the heater. Sometimes we just go off on people, and we might be just as hypocritical as we can be by doing that and not realizing that we are. So, you know, maybe you want to stand back, look in the mirror first before you start talking about other people, other religious groups, because you might be doing more worse things than you claim that they're doing. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And I was trying to bring it back home to where this all began tonight by commenting on the people down there in your town who have the African artifacts and, you know, religious, you know, spiritual masks and different things, and that they're respectfully selling them and honoring them and giving honor and praise in a certain kind of way. And they're white people. And these are African artifacts, all of them, everything there. And they certainly are showing a tremendous amount of respect for what they have in their presence and what they have that to sell to African Americans. So,
I'm gonna put it like this. I'm gonna get back to you, but I'm gonna go back to that part so you can comment on it. But
right on.
What I was talking about more in Pacific, because the ones they had around all the African masks they had, like it's like, you know, like at the ceilings, it was shelves, but at the top of the ceilings they had the African masks going all around the store. Now those weren't for sale. They just, I guess, just decoration is in the building, the African mask.
Okay.
But they had an altar right there, right by the counter. And there's an active altar. You know, and you have an altar, you might, like say, if you want to do an offering, then you're asking a Shun or a Batala or Mama Watas or something. You want something from them, so you give them an offering, and you know whatever they might, you know, some people say they might desire. What was this brother? I remember something like a Shango. Somebody was saying he want like cigars, so you'll see some people smoke a cigar and they'll blow the smoke on the altar and stuff. So they had this altar there, giving altars to, as they would say, these gods or these African deities. So it was something that they were making offers to because maybe something they wanted. Because they had to think, I wish I could remember exactly what it said. Well, it said something about respect the altar because this is an altar, I mean, for offerings and something it said, man, I can't remember because it was, had so much different things that were on that table. But all of them I noticed, like I said, they was African. We would say, like, I'm just going to say African. You know, what they call the deities, the figurines artifacts of African deities and artifacts. Mm-hmm. And a candle, I know one candle, I made sure I looked right at it. It was a candle to Oshun because they had, you know, they had to have his stuff written on there. And I was like, wow. So it's like they were giving offering to these so-called deities that they would say are these powers because they were trying to receive something in return.
Yep.
And then these are Europeans.
Yep.
Calling on African God or giving offering to African gods for something in return.
Yep, and that's prosperity right in their store.
Mm-hmm. So Hey, Dave, could you please tell us that, if you don't mind, you're supposed to tell us this story, too.
Yeah. All right, so, yeah, I was going with it. Y'all know me. I talk shit about
like them white girls. Go ahead. And the Mexican women. Go ahead.
I talk shit about the white girls. I talk shit about all of them. Now, I done been with plenty of white girls and plenty of light.
Okay.
Kids.
Okay. Now, there you go.
but, you know, fuck them. I like the dark-skinned black woman now. So that's back in my color-struck days. You know?
Yeah, you got over that.
So I'll fuck with them white girl years ago. And I remember she had an unk around her neck. And I always used to shit with this unk. I fell asked her because, you know, I had just, you know, stopped practicing Islam and all. And I said, why you wearing an unk? And she was like, well, our set gave her power.
Ooh.
And whoa. I was like, what the fuck? I said, but that's the Egyptian God. She said, yeah. Said when she did her prayers and doing rituals, which I had no, she was a witch.
Hmm.
It's a thing. Most of these white girls are fucking witches. Y'all better watch out for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
She said, that's why I pray to for my ritual. And locked set. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Really?
Yeah.
And so what's your... Go ahead.
Go ahead. And I'm not going to tell you, Justice, that as I said earlier, that store, that they're owned by Wiccans. And, you know, most people say Wiccans are witches or whatnot. But that's who owned that particular herb store. Now, a lot of people go in there. Because that's basically the only store that I know in Memphis. Somebody told me it was another herb store, but I know that one's been around for a long time. And that's who owned that particular store. And they have a lot of Kemetic, people say Kemetic or Egyptian statues in there.
And I see there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But now I just want to throw that out. That's who owned that store.
So
David,
they sell herbs and whatnot. And
well, they,
you know,
they have herbs too, but they sell, man, they have a section in the back that has herbs in there, like, you know, burdock, dandelion, what you call that, dandelion, all the different herbs that you can, you know, take. But they have in the front of the store section, man, woo, brother, they got the hell, they got the Ouija boards, they got everything dealing with magic. If it's a spiritual system, well, I don't think they have no Bibles or nothing like stuff like that. I hadn't really just paid attention, but all the occultic stuff and, you know, magic, voodoo, and they have all this stuff in there.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Based on that and you know how you kind of was saying, we don't give honor to our ancestors and our creations and different things. We might have built something in honor of somebody. And so it's like Chief Rabbi was describing about that rock that they go around and they say they're making, what do you call that, their pilgrimage to Mecca, and they're doing a, what do you call that, you go around that thing? Anyway, whatever you call it. So
the Kaaba.
You go around the Kaaba. I was saying, like, what do they call that? You're making your pilgrimage to Mecca. You go around the Kaaba.
Yeah, they call it
like
the
seven times, something like that.
Yeah, okay. Pilgrimage is called the Hajj, but yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
All right. So I find it ironic that this religion of Islam would do such a thing. After the fact that they would come in to Kemet, and after it had already been through a whole lot of violations through different peoples coming there and taking over for centuries at times, that by the time they came, they still were at what they were saying, like, oh, y'all worshiping idols, and we done been through this where every invader that came in there. No, we're not worshiping idols. Then what's that big thing right there? What is that? That's Grandma Set. That's Grandma, Hathor. You know, these are different people. We tell them they are. Oh, no, that's an idol you're worshiping, and you're not supposed to worship idols, and only supposed to worship God and all this. So they want to destroy everything after, like these other invaders did the same thing. They can't have no understanding of our natural religious or spiritual connection and how we naturally pay honor to our ancestors and the people who put in place righteousness and put in place truth, righteousness, justice, and love, honor, peace, and all these type of things, like as a moral code for us to have. And then all these invaders would come and dismantle our whole system. So like I was saying, these Arabs, by the time they got there, they did the same thing. They say, oh, y'all worshiping idols, and they right back at it, destroying the rest of the stuff that the other people didn't destroy. So then they're going to turn around and go around this black rock, whatever you say, and then kind of honor and pay worship to that. But then they first going to say you can't honor or worship nothing, but then they're going to do a rock. They'd rather worship a black rock than a black ancestor. You see what I'm saying? So,
Well, I would have to say, as practicing Islam, I would have to say, to be correct, you don't actually worship the rock. Now, people say because you're praying towards the east in that direction, whether it's stone is, I'm going to say for me, I didn't see myself as worshiping the rock, because you're taught in the Quran, even in the Quran and in the Islam, that if they say Allah or they say the source is unseen. Most people, you know, from the Nation of Islam or whatnot, these other way, they say he's a spook god because he's unseen. He's a mystery god. It's something unseen. So if it was unseen, Allah is unseen, the Nation of Islam say he's a mystery god, which they say they don't worship, you see the rock. Well, you can see the rock. So how are you worshiping that rock when you can see it, the Kaaba? You're not taught to worship the Kaaba or the Kaaba stone. That's what it's called, the Kaaba stone. You're not taught to worship that because you're taught don't worship anything because Allah is an unseen God. So you don't worship the rock.
And we wasn't, as our ancestors, and Kemet worshiping any rocks either. We were paying tribute to our ancestors who lived there, who set in place certain moral ethical codes for our people to stand and live by. So we weren't worshiping any rocks. We were just magnificent builders of wonderful images of ourselves.
So hold up. So go back now. Hold up. So Kemet didn't worship, give reverence to the sun?
Oh, I'm not saying that there wasn't a certain person who came later and said, okay, we should honor the sun instead of the universal God who created the sun and the universe. So he wanted to go that route. But other than that, no.
Was that? Because you remember they did that. There was several of them that they've done that. Amun was just one because they always had worship of different things that was so-called worship the sun. Now, people's like, I remember one time when I was in the committee, people like, and I was listening, no, we didn't worship the sun. I remember Dr. Yo said that we didn't worship the sun. But shit, they actually did because we worshiped the different phases of the sun.
Mm-hmm. No, that was
they
the
had
last
different names.
This one, Atum Ra, let's see. I can't remember. I think it's Atum Ra, something similar to that name.
Atum? Amun, he came with it.
But I'm gonna get the name eventually. But he was one of the last ones to come and change up what Kemet was doing prior to all of the invasions that happened, and that they had to go and reduce what it was, how they were practicing Ma'at. So he tried to resurrect Ma'at to a certain standard, but it never got back to the original standard. You know, after hundreds of years, it just kind of got lost. And just like now, it's really lost. So at this point, you know, I'm not going to discuss much more about that, but I was trying to just see if, you know what, Chief, you know what, Sunray? You know about the Sunray 9 music show, 365, or what's the title of that again?
Yeah, that's where it airs it on their site.
I need you to shoot me back the info. I think I could get that, but you know, you remember all that texting we was doing Sunday, going back and forth, right? And do you know, at the end of the day, I dropped and broke and cracked my phone. And I didn't have a phone until Wednesday, and then Thursday I got it activated. So I didn't have a phone all week, and I was hoping you might text me because I lost my contacts, at least yours. I lost your contacts. So shoot me a text message, and I regain your contact.
I wanted to text you,
or I was hoping you'd text me. I was like, dang, my man texted me since Sunday. I thought you'd shoot me one during the week.
I ain't going to have none of this in there.
I didn't have no way to get in contact with you. I said, man, how come this phone number ain't in here? And they've been in here for years, and this one ain't coming up. So
I got you.
I went through the show. Now look, you got to put out the call in number more often, because I had to go through about 4 or 5 shows to get this here call in number for tonight's show.
Oh damn.
Yeah,
it was late.
About 4 or 5 shows. I was like,
you had to reschedule too.
Okay, yeah. Well, just let the put that number out there. Let people know we're going to be on Friday nights at 7 Central, and the call-in number is 563-999. You know, what's the rest? 38? What was it? Give them that number, son, Ray. So people can know.
3081.
That's how you can get listen to the show or be online to be a listener and a guest, you know, call.
And just this, I have a book here going back to something right fast. Because, you know, I used to practice the comedic way of life, or as they say. Now I have a book here called The Complete Gods and Goddesses of Ancient Egypt. Man, this thing is it's a thick, real thick book. Now, one of the things it says, now this book goes through, it keeps mentioning all of these different so-called gods and goddesses of Egypt and tell you different places they would worship and tell you
about
them.
But now I'm gonna
show you something here. It says that the number of deities worshipped by ancient Egyptians were indeed staggering. Almost 1,500 gods and goddesses are known by name, though fewer are known in detail. 1,500 different gods. And this thing, it don't probably give you the whole 1,500, but it gives you, this thing gives you a list of different deities. I wish I can show y'all this if it was on video. It gives you a list of the different deities and the different gnomes or whatever called cities that they were worshipped in, and it'll show you a lot of the things and show you the temples and all of these different things that they were worshipped in. So, yeah, man, they had several. And here's something about even in African traditions and spiritualities. You had, and I had another book over there, damn, somewhere. But it, in a lot of places what they had, that, and this is something that I go back into about the Israelites, all because how the Israelites speak about it. That's why you will see in the Tanakh, it said only worship, serve the one God. There's only one deity, one power. Because a lot of even Africa, even in African traditions, you might have a supreme deity. Let me get this book. I forgot I'm on Bluetooth so I can walk around in. But you will have a supreme deity that's there. They believe in a supreme being. But at the same time, they would have other associate deities, as they would call them, that's being worshipped as well. And this is what happened. That's what happened in a lot of things in Kemet. Now, they supposedly been in certain areas, they believed in a higher power, a higher deity.
Word.
But now, they always had associate deities. This is why you have this thing called I forget it now, off the top of my head, the Aeneid, or the, let me get all my books right here, hell, I got all of here, a whole bunch of them. That's why you had the different deities and stuff. You might have the creator deity, but they always gave reference to different associated deities. And this is why, again, you have even what we call the Israelite tradition, and you have even Islam that took a part of the debt and said, have no other God or have no other power but the Most High, because everything else might have been associating like a deity or something with the Most High. Because again, you know, we look at man. Man wants some basically damn tangible. He says seeing is believing. That's why I go back again with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in that teaching, be saying that we don't worship a mystery God, or we don't believe in a mystery God. It's like they have to see it to believe it. That's why they'll say, well, Farad Muhammad, he's God, you know, or something like that. So all this teaching, we don't believe in a mystery God. And that's why even man, some of those teachers, some of these people will say, well, hell, we God. We don't believe no goddamn mystery God. We God. We the God. Because
every
you
time
know
you look at another black
role,
man, you're looking at God. That's what I was told.
But that's like that's what you were told. But you know what we're saying, but the supreme power, again, okay, like we talked about the drugs, right? Because, you know, there's a teaching that said, well, the black man is God. He's the black man is a God. You know, if you go through their supreme wisdom lessons and stuff, the black man is the God. Okay, but, okay, the black man is God, but why is he smoking, and he's addicted to the devil's drug? Right? Because we're told, you know, if you look at certain, as we'll say, as people would say, religious teaching, that the devil has no power over God. He's not, he don't even have, can't even be associated with God. He has no equal value. So how can, if we say the white man is the devil, how can the black man who is God be hooked on the devil's drug and be destroyed by the devil's instruments and tools? But if the black man is the God, there's no way that this white man's drug, heroin, crack, fentanyl, can destroy the black man who is the God, who is the creator of that devil called the AKA white man. See, this is why I step away from a lot of those teachings because, again, because even with the pharaohs, right, what was he supposed to have been? The pharaoh was supposed to have been what? A representation of he was the human representation of the what? Of the higher power, or the as they might say, the unseen God. This is what the whole Jesus narrative even come about being, that the Christians later, because that was the original teaching that came about through these Jews, or we call the Israelites, who believed in who followed his teaching. That shit came through the European that y'all get today saying, well, Jesus was God in flesh. He was God in truth. No, that's the European concept. But even today, that's why you have a lot of these brothers just teaching this stuff out here saying we are the God. But I said again, if we are the God who set the sun, moon, and stars out in the planet, which is being taught, how is the black man able, if he's this God, why is this devil who is the white man? Now, we got to say it now, we the God. How is this devil destroying the black man today? But we got now.
There's many reasons for that, and
it can't be no reason. We God now.
Well, no,
God,
I understand
now.
That. I understand
we all
that.
Powerful.
But what happens is, if you don't have an inkling of who you are and who the enemy of who you are is, then you'll fall victim to the devil. And Satan,
no, but you God. Yeah. You all knowing. There's no way you can step outside of your godly nature. You God.
That's not a person.
There's no way you can.
All right, let me go straight to this one.
You can't stop.
See,
God can't stop being God, brother.
Here's the thing. Somebody asked a question. What is the devil? Right? And so
that
for me, the answer was
adversary. But go ahead, my bad.
Okay,
what
no, it's cool. It's cool. No, because my answer, this was maybe umpteen years ago, right? And this question was posed. So my answer was, and still is, that the devil is a mind that is evil and wicked. It's a mind. So that's where, you know, it says, you know, there's some where it's written where to kill the mind of the devil or the mindset of that, and then reform your mind into a new mind and this type of thing. So you have to know where to draw the line, and that's right in the middle. That's like, okay, you have to understand where evil exists and then where righteousness exists. So above the navel is where righteousness exists. Below the navel is where evil and wickedness exists and weakness and stuff like that, because you're not paying honor to yourself if you're acknowledging and giving honor to your lower self. So above the navel is where you should put most of your honor to to yourself. And ultimately, your dome, that's what your shoulders are holding, kingdom of your mind. And that's where you have the power over Satan once you reach that level of understanding who you are and your power and how to be able to not fall victim to Satan and his world and what's going on, is to how to maneuver and not walk that kind of crooked line and walk a straight line. And then you can be untouchable, and then you can be almighty. You can be all wise, all knowing. You can have all the understanding and have all the protections of the Most High, the Creator, right on your shoulders, as you should. So it's a certain way to get there, and a certain way, you know, if you don't have a certain know-how or knowledge of who you are, knowledge of self, knowledge of other than self, then you can easily slip up and end up falling victim to the lower self, that mind that is evil, that one that is deceptive, one that is wicked, and then walk in that mindset instead of the higher mindset, which is one that is righteous, one that is honest, one that is truthful, one that is respectful, one that is caring, one that is loving, etc. This type. But then you go to the other one, you inherit that other mind. Now you are everything opposite of good. So now you're dishonest, you're a thief, you know, you're a liar, you know, you're a con artist, maybe you're a killer, you're a person who is always trying to get over on somebody. So that mind is the other mind. So that's the evil, wicked mind. So it's just, it's a matter of where you fall, which mind you fall into, you know, as you continue to live and grow and hopefully mature and have understanding. Then you can have that ultimate protection from the devil, and then you can't become a victim of the devil, and the devil will be a victim of you, because the devil have no power over you. As long as you are righteous and honest and have those virtues, there's nothing the devil can do against truth and righteousness and honor and there's nothing the devil can't stand the truth. The devil cannot stand the truth. So if you're honest, you're righteous. And another thing, the devil just can't stand people who have love in their heart, or the devil hates love. So if you just love, you can know somebody who have devil traits, but you show them mad love, then you neutralize their devil ship. Like whatever they might have did, it's like you kind of overwhelmed them with love in a certain way where they maybe never got it. So that's kind of how it goes. It's like you just kind of do good and just do what you should do as far as what the Creator, I would say, the Creator, the Mother Earth, the Mother Nature, just like this, because I think that somehow, there's a story missing that it needs to be told, and we don't talk enough about the righteous mother of this righteous man or men who we always talk about and we give praise to, all these men, and they all had mothers. We never talk about their mothers. And their mothers were more than likely the ones that instilled all of that righteousness and truth in them. And their mothers never get any airtime or any honor or respect to say that these men that we talk about so much, they mothers was way greater than them. They mothers was way greater than them. They mothers the one that instilled in them how to build the pyramids. Like, they the one that gave them this kind of knowledge and strength and know-how to do a lot of things they ain't think they could do. And they wanted mothers. To impress those mothers. They wanted to impress those mothers, a lot of them. And they built things
so
for
what,
those mothers.
What,
they got women all up on the walls in the ceilings of ancient Egypt.
What do we find that at? What do we find?
It's right there in Kemet. They got these buildings up there. They got these women.
I mean, now I'm talking about, well, they got this inspiration from their mothers. So some of these people, we don't even know who their damn fathers are.
That's what
are.
I'm saying. Like, I'm just talking about, say, like we're talking about King Zoser and, you know, the first king who built the Great Pyramid and his son and his other son. So Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure, these three. And nobody said, oh, well, you know, oh, they only talk about they was great, or Imhotep. You know, Imhotep had a mother, so did... Now, I have heard of these mothers. I have heard of one or two of these mothers recently and how great they really were. One of the mothers of these people I'm talking about, like one of the mothers of the great pyramid builders.
Wasn't they father the king or whatever, like the leader of the tribe instead of the mother? Is that why the fathers have always been, because the king have been venerated, even though the mother sat there on the throne beside her, but wasn't she? Because you don't see that many women pharaohs or leaders in Kemet, do you? It's just your date name.
All right, so here's what I've discovered. In India, out of 42 structures that are designed like pyramids and different temples of what kind of different kinds, right? Out of 42, 38 of them were all in tribute for women, a tribute for women, and they were erected in honor of the queens that ruled India, the black queens that ruled India. 38 out of 42. The four other ones, they were men manifestations, like creations and stuff like that, buildings and stuff. But I'm telling
you,
women,
you
it was the Maat
system.
I'm not a,
you
no,
a Hindu?
Because we were black people were Hindus before these Indians was, that you look at the these ones now, but the first Hindus were black people from India and all this. We are indigenous all over the planet. The first black people of India, they the ones that built all those pyramids and everything over there. And back then, it was definitely the Maat system. And it was the Maat system of the matriarch system of how you do things, not the patriarch system. So they were working for the women, as I just illustrated, that the women had all of these structures made for them and or in honor of them, and only four of them in this area of India was for men, and they came from China and in Africa, and if you could go to South America, you'll see similar things, and in North America, there's places so old that my goodness, there's people here. At the same time, you talk about what was going on in Kemet or in with the Hebrews or whatever. At the same time something was happening over there, there was things going on in all other parts of the world with people. People were living everywhere even then. Everything didn't have to do with the understanding of one way or one story or one understanding of how beings existed, and they lived under the principles of what they were told or taught in their religion or in their group of how they came up. We existed all over this planet for so long, and this is not being told or said enough, that we are indigenous to the whole planet, black people. We are indigenous everywhere. When they were building pyramids in Egypt, they were building pyramids in America. in North America and in South America too, and in India and in China. Everywhere someone was building a pyramid, say 5-10,000 years ago, they were doing similar things in other parts of the world. Unknowingly, that other people was doing what they were doing where they were. They didn't know they was doing a pyramid where they were, but they were doing a different kind of pyramid over here. They had no knowledge of those people doing what they was doing when they were doing it, and they didn't know what they were doing when they were doing it. It's just some kind of dynamics.
So just because that person who may be just say, I'm trying to think of it, just say in the Amazons, and they just so happen to have their pigment or pigmentation, I mean, you know, melanin, and they're dark skinned. And we got some people in India. We do know who the people in India who's supposed to have dark skin. So does that make all of so-called people with dark skin the same people just because of the skin complexion? And I think that's what we're getting too caught up on. We say, well, black people, black. And this is something I was reading in the book. I got a book that was, I just bought, No Color Line, but there was another book that was mentioning about some stuff about this whole thing about colorism. And just because, it's just like we say today, okay, going back to the thing with Hitler, and the so-called Jews, their situation, they didn't, like, you see even Europeans today, or so-called what we call white folk, they don't even look at each other as the same. Because they just because of skin complexion, shit, they don't look at each other the same or treat each other no goddamn different. Look, they battle each other kill each other in a heartbeat. They don't look the same because, they, you know, they'll say, because we are from a different tribe. We're from a different nationality.
You're making a good point.
We're not the same. We're not the same as them. But black people, what so-called black people, we look at you as your skin complexion and start saying, well, hey, man, we all black. Black people was not. No, you're not the same as, like, you. Just because you have that skin complexion, and it may be a geographic area that you was in that probably caused it. I don't know. I'm not into too deep
it
in
is,
anthropology.
It is.
Like that.
You're right.
But that it does is. Not mean that you are the same. We didn't look at you or that people as the same because your skin complexion. We look at you because, hey, you're from a different tribe. We don't fuck with y'all. Y'all ain't like us. And this is why even with Hitler, he looked at them people and, like, said, man, hey, this is a deeper thing than that tonight I want to get into. But this is where we're getting into this dark skin. So, well, black people, okay, who were those black people? Or were they Africans?
Let me tell you. I'll answer that question by saying no. Everybody wasn't African. People came from all parts of this world and migrated to all kinds of parts of this world. So, on the other hand, what I want to point out is different regions of the world, no matter how your skin color is, the region of the world shapes your thinking and it shapes your understanding of what it is that you need to do for your survival. So if you are in a warm climate and whatnot, you know that you have to grow things and you have to have your certain way of your culture and to sustain yourself and your village and your people. And then if you're in a colder climate, that shapes your thinking in another way. Now you're thinking in a whole different way. And you could be a dark-colored person who's living in a colder climate. And that was the case in a lot of places. All in Europe. Black people lived all throughout Europe. And those people who lived there had a different way of thinking than people who lived in a south climate of, like, below the equator line, South America or Africa. They didn't have the same type of view of the world, a world view. They had a different outlook on life because of where they lived. Say you lived on an island somewhere. You didn't have the same type of drive that other people somewhere else that they saw that they could build and make things happen and make things great and grand for themselves and their family and the whole nation of the people. So they had more drive to make things good because there was a colder climate. Well, we need to build castles here so that all of these people can live and we can all have a place to live. And all they have a different way of thinking. Now, you live in the southern climate, oh, you're like, well, we need to fish. We need to get these berries. We need to get these fruits. And so I'm just saying, everywhere in this world, black people live. Even when we was living in Russia, we had a different way of thinking in Russia than we did in New York City or Baltimore or Tennessee. And, we lived in America. We lived in Tennessee strong.
That's because you have to adapt to the wherever you at for survival. That's understand. But the point about, again, like you're saying, black people when we was in Russia, okay. Here's something I give you. Now, most black people started talking about we was already in America. We was in America, this, that, and another. But here's what I find when I look at images of copper colored people. Now, remember I said copper color, because when you look up in Norris, even in the what's his name, Norris Webster Dictionary, go back to the 1800s, when you look up the word American, it'll start telling you the copper colored people. Later,
did you know
white
Webster was
European.
Black? I just found out Webster was black. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
I don't know nothing about all that. I don't know nothing all right. about all that, but I just leave it at this. But when you look at the people that you see and the makeup, those people that you do see over here or have seen that was over here, I went there to what they call Native American museum they have here in Memphis, and I've seen, you know, you see images on the internet and everywhere. When you see those people, and you see the copper color, you see some copper color. Geronimo and probably some of them people. Look at the bone, the facial feature, the phenotype. It looked nothing like some of these damn people that have been running around
That's
here
right.
as so-called black people we say in America today, black people hollering about, we are the indigenous people to America. You look nothing like those people. Now, you do have some of our people who mix, like my grandmother has, my grandmother them, right? I had a grandmother, two grandmothers two on my mother's side. They did. They have a one was mixed with Blackfoot and other Cherokee, but she said that it was a mixture because they mixed because here's the part a lot of again with this whole thing about the Cherokee because black people were enslaved by fucking Cherokee. While you have Cherokee in your blood, Cherokee. And Choctaw, and there was many other tribes. That's why you want us to wear up. We got Indian in our blood or Native American. That's why. But you talk about before that, dog. But when you talk about these people, the people I see who actually look like the images that we see with Geronimo, and I'm using Geronimo for discussion. These people we see, I see the people we call Mexicans. You look at their friends. They just lighter skinned now because of the mixing with the Anglo-Saxons the Spaniards. But in them, when you look at the people that was in Peru, you look at the people that was down in it was some other place. I seen a movie the Aztecs, the Incas. When you look at those people, they look just like some of the Mexicans that you call Mexicans today. Like the Mexicans are just lighter skinned now. And you look at Eskimos. You look at them people, they look just like the so-called Aboriginal Indians or whatever you want to call them. They look just like the Tainos, all of those people, the Arawak, all the people, they look like them, but black, well, we see they were black because they had dark skin. See, black people, we were, and when you think about black, what you start thinking about damn near, we just think about like how we over here in America look, calling ourselves African Americans, and that's what you damn near start thinking when somebody heard use the word black. You think about that. Like us who came through the transatlantic slave trade or whatever, or African American, and that's what we damn near start visualizing. And this
Can
is
I
what really
that?
have fucked us up. I'm not saying you do it, but that really have fucked us up with this skin complexion bullshit.
Let me talk about
this. That's really have. But when you look at phenotype, when you people like say, well, we were already over, like Bane Calloway, them be popping that bullshit in people's head. See, we was already over here in America. But why you don't look like none of those people, the ancient people that was here?
All right. So
even your grandmama them, you don't even look like my grandma. Nobody else in my family looked like my grandmama them who had Cherokee blood. Nobody else looked like them in our family.
Here's what we've discovered is that these people that you're describing, that you're saying that we don't look like, and they're calling them Native Americans, they're not the true Native Americans, although they have their heritage here, but they are a mixture of people, like someone said. And yes, of course, they do have that, what we can see, if they were just to grow their hair, these Mexican people, they would look just like those ones that we looking at as the Native Americans, because they look similar to them. And so, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but those are not indigenous Americans per se. Now,
so where do they come from? So because all of them had like an Asian type. If you look at a Mexican, he damn near look like a fucking, because I know what they teach about the Bering Strait. And you really do, like, I know people trying to disprove that, a lot of black people trying to disprove what you call black, African Americans trying to disprove that. But when you look at that, you look at a Mexican, he can damn near, some Mexicans actually look like a fucking Chinese. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. They look like Chinese almost. They eyes. They look like the fucking, Eskimos. How we don't have, and we say, well, and like I said, I've been to these museums. I've been to the museums here, especially here, several times. I've seen some of the people who live here, who actually live there on the road. They don't live there anymore. They moved away now. I don't know where the hell they at now. But when we see that makeup, other people, even my grandmother, noticed that they had straight hair. All of them had that long, straight, stringy hair. But a lot of us, why the hell we got the, you know, we got like that. We ain't a lot of, I got the goddamn Coy saying hair, like the nappy beady bead. Well, okay, but how you saying they're not the original people then? Where the hell they come from?
So what I'm saying is, all right, we have here in this country, you have had 10,000 different tribes. So out of them tribes, you're going to have a whole lot of different types of people. So everybody didn't have straight hair. There was definitely people who were darker skin with kinky hair and afros and dreadlocks and all kinds of other ways. They didn't even tame their hair. They just let it grow wild. And they had different complexions. The regions of where they were made their skin different complexions, and the way they thought, I mean, where they lived, their thinking made them want to dress a certain way or make their clothes a certain way. So every, you know, like you said, everybody can't claim black. But, you know, because we do have differences as we are different people of color all over the planet. So, yeah, some groups of people have straight hair. And then those people might mix with people with kinky hair. And then they'll have children, and you'll still have people there, and you won't really be able to tell who's different. You won't be able to tell them apart because it's just a slight dynamic mix, because they still have copper-colored skin. So you can have people over here with copper-colored skin with coarse hair, slender body type, certain heights, certain, you know, other kinds of characteristics. But they may not have these other characteristics as this other type of tribal group. They might be of a very much lighter skin group of people with a Chinese more looking eyes, because they had their history and their dynamic mix of how they became who they are. They mix with Chinese, they mix with the Spaniards, and they mix with the Europeans, which kind of gave them their kind of look that they have. As we say that they're Native Americans,
they're the last Native Americans because they've been watered down to this certain kind of look, to this kind of Native American that you see. Other ones were very much indigenous to certain other areas of the continent, I mean, of this continent. So if you went out to Nebraska or you went out to the Dakotas, you would see different types of other Indians that weren't people with afros. They weren't people who had coarse hair, because most people with afros or most people with kinky hair or coarse hair, we are type of sea people or people who like to be near water. And so anywhere you would find a lot of black people who would be indigenous to everywhere, it's going to be where the water is or nearby where water is. So if you got water somewhere nearby, or I don't care if it's the Mississippi River, black people was indigenous all up and down there, because that's where we would travel all over this planet through our boats and things and maneuver everywhere and always be near the water. And we would build right off the water.
But my thing here, hey, come on back in here, Dave. I know you said that. But, okay, how is it that, okay, if we look at the Peruvians, you look at the Arawak, you look at all the people in the Amazon, all of them damn near look alike, the Eskimos, all of them damn near look alike. They phenotype. You look at their facial features, the Aztec, the Incas and all that. I was messing with the Mexican brother. I said, man, hey, man. I said, y'all, even though he's light-skinned, we just forget the skin complexion shit. I was like, hey, man. You sure your bloodline ain't go back to the Incas and Aztecs or something? I said, man, you look just like a goddamn Aztec warrior. He was just laughing like, I don't know.
But
he looked just
you know
like what you see was an Aztec warrior, the painting and shit on the wall. But how is it that,
look,
here we go. How is it that we as so-called, what we're calling ourselves Black America, even though, okay, the Mexicans, who we know have mixed with the Spaniards, how is it that still, with their skin got lighter, and they're speaking Spanish, but they still have those phenotypes as we see as the Peruvians and the Aztecs and the Incas? They still look the fucking same as that.
No,
even though the skin,
that's the new, that's only the last couple hundred years of it. Before that, 200 years, they was all,
come on, man.
They got light skinned in 200 years, right?
They got,
messing with those Spaniards
and them. You talk about, I said, bro, you missing my point. I said, even though their skin have changed, they got maybe lighter. You still stuck on the skin complex. I'm talking about the phenotype, the bone structures. I'm talking about the bone structures, their jawbone. They still look like those ancient people with just the
skin. Let me tell you,
the skin changing, the bone structures and shit are still the fucking same. That the slanted eyes and all that shit still the same. We don't look shit like none of that.
Yes, we do. Let me point out
like
one.
That.
Let me point out one. You know, I was looking at this guy. I was like, man, this guy, man, is the most unusual looking guy, man. My favorite rapper. Got the big nose, man. He got the long forehead. He got the long face, like long forehead, all this here, right? I'm like, man, this guy's most unusual looking. Where he from? He from New York? Man, look, that ain't too far from where South America is, man, where the real black Incas live. And I looked at my man, I'm like, man, this dude was really, he's from them Incas. Those Incas, if you go and look at the Inca pictures, man, they was black people. They wasn't no light-skinned type people at all. I'm going to send you some of that stuff again. But
you missing my
black
point.
People, but they
was not black, but they were not
way.
What we considered African American. Brother, you missed my. See, you missed
they had
the
dreads
point.
And everything. They had dreads and
missing,
everything.
That,
man.
Don't make them, that don't make them you. They don't. Why don't your phenotypes look? Take off the goddamn skin. Look at your skeleton. Why your skeleton remains don't look like those people?
That's only because they created the images.
You don't have none of that shit that they have.
We do. Like I just said, KRS-One looked just like an Inca or Aztec, original one.
KRS-One
has
a big ass nose like a goddamn Nubian.
No, I mean, look, those people from those Aztecs and them had big noses like that. If you look at any black people with big nose, they could be an Aztec. Or they could be an Inca. Because we had real big noses with dark skin and black.
They're not the same as what you and I may be today.
I know it because you got to look at it. Brother, go look at this shit, man. I've been to the I've seen the picture.
I got something for you. No, you ain't seen the one I'm seeing.
Say again, we're getting hung up on because somebody's skin complexion, the way they look, their skin tone. We getting hung up on somewhere somebody's
I'm
skin
talking about
motherfucker
hundreds
goes sleep
of years
okay,
ago.
A white boy goes sleep in a suntan salon today and get dark as a motherfucker. Then we all, he black. Hey, what's her name? What's her name? The NAACP woman, Dave. Was she black in any day?
Oh, Zolichaw or something.
Dave must be knocked out.
She probably by you fell asleep.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I heard you, man.
So it's a woman that was at the NAACP day, and she black then, day.
Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
Hell nah, she ain't black.
She got an honorary black pass, didn't she?
If that's the case, Farah Muhammad black.
Oh.
He more black than Rachel Dolezal is, that's for sure. That's for sure. He the
hell
one who told the black man. The black man is the original man, the creator of the planet Earth, the cream of the planet.
Hell
no. Nah.
Look.
How's a white man going to say that?
Farah Muhammad,
look.
Farah Muhammad, Rachel Dolezal darker than Farah Muhammad.
No, come on. Hell. That's only what he would make up.
Hey, see, Dave, that's what I'm saying. Just because a person has dark skin, does that make them what we consider, as black or African-American?
Hell no.
The Incas and the Aztecs. Go ahead, Dave. They don't look shit like. How come we don't look like
Farah Muhammad was talking
was
about
Aztec.
Farah Muhammad
was
about
a Cherokee. She had those same phenotypes.
Farah Muhammad looked like one of the fucking Beatles, man. That dude was not black.
Come on, man. Somebody sent me a picture of Farah Muhammad,
like
man. The brother had all kinds of melanin in his skin, man, with his kufi on. I was like, wow. That's how it really looked. He really was.
Nah.
Like,
Justice, I know you a high yellow nigga. I know you is. I know you a high yellow nigga, because ain't no damn way you capable for them one-drop motherfuckers, because
how for Farah Muhammad, if he was white, why he going to tell black people to kill four devils or something like that? Why would he do that?
Hell, white people from other countries can't stand America. That's why he was used for. He was used to come over here to use black folks as an economical foothold to be able to fuck their own country up. That way he could come in and when they locked up and get an economical foothold, that's what the motherfucking foreigners do. That's what they do. Arabs do this shit all the time. And all that shit. That way he could take
he
a,
the white
all the fuck up y'all community. And that's why they glad y'all protest all the fucking time. Because when you protesting, believe it or not, them Arabs fund all that shit. They want you to tear up your community. That way they can, the pricing can get low and they can come in and buy the shit when it's cheap. And they can come and fuck up your neighborhood and make money off of you. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. So them Arabs ain't nothing black about the motherfucker. Got dark Europeans all day.
I'm looking at the book right here now with all these pictures. Like, even after looking at it, I'm looking at the dude over here. I don't know where the hell he's from. I'm trying to see where he's from. But they look like Aboriginal people here. But I'm looking at this dude, and goddamn it, he looked like he has the same phenotypes as Kim Jong-un, which is, we know, a Korean or Asiatic. They had Orientals, they used to call them. look just like, that's like we said, damn near a light-skinned Indian, damn near, we want to say it. That's what I'm saying, man. Those people, bro, look, the, no matter what they, whether it was in the, like I said, the Aztecs, the Incas, the Mayans, them people that the brother, what's the name on the 12 tribe, they be trying to say? I forget that name now. I know it was the Arawak and there was another tribe. See, they like especially Akatazar, he be trying to use that shit. See, they was us, you know, the Native Americans was that they part of the 12 tribe chart. Listen, man, because them folk had dog skin, they weren't none of us, and that ain't you. Those, like I said again, why do you see those people, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Eskimos, and all them people that has the same? I don't give a fuck about no skin complexion because they light skinned because of the mixing, but still, again, their jawbone, their phenotype is still the same. You cut the goddamn skin off of them and just had the bone structures, you will see they look the same as they did way back then. It's probably lighter skin. And some of them down, they still got dark skin in some of these places. Down in Brazil and some of these places down in the goddamn jungles and shit, you will see them people, man. Still the same. They look just like the images we see with the Native Americans, the copper color.
That's
people,
right.
They call
That's right.
But that ain't just not you. That ain't got nothing to do with you because they dark skin. Again, we getting caught up saying they black because they got dark skin and you thinking they're the same as you.
All right, so we got to know.
We're getting fucked up on color again.
We got to just know that the planet was called Asia at one point. So the whole planet is Asian. So
Indians are dark as hell, and they still white.
I mean, they came out of Asia. Okay, and the sun over there make your eyes and your face, everything shape a certain way. Okay?
And what did you say today, don't say, brother Daddy? What did you say about the Indian Daddy?
I said them East Indians is black as hell, and they still white. They got straight hair, and they as white as hell. They dark European. Like a lot. Yep, and they on the own.
Stand your black ass.
But
that's right, and that's because of a mixture of mixing of races with other people who came into the region.
No, motherfucker, that's how Paul looked in the Bible. Paul was a dark European. Hell, that's why he didn't get along with the rest of the damn Hebrews.
Okay.
Some people can't stand you, man. They dog skin as fuck. They can't stand you, man. Because they know they not the same as you. Just because you see, but we, like I said, this is why we're getting caught up again on skin complexion. Oh, I got a picture right here. I'm even looking at it. I got a book I got. And it's showing the different statues. Not just it's showing the different ancient statues from the Incas and the Mayans and all of these things. And these people look just like the freaking Mexicans. I'm saying the Mexicans and things that we see running around here today.
What you looking at? I'm gonna send you the information where they look like black people. I think you got the watered down version.
I guess. Well, this down here in Mexico. I ain't got no. I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know how. Okay. Well, I don't know how they did it. Maybe the white man.
I'm gonna send you the black
goddamn
version.
He's whitening up everything. I'm not talking about color. See, they, again, you're talking about color. I'm talking about how they actually look. I mean, the look. I ain't worried about no damn color. Again, I'm not worried about color. I'm looking at how the features look of the people, not skin complexion. The features. Like I said, well, he got a high cheekbones. Or, he got that, some of the people have, like, the Neanderthal. You can tell they mix with Neanderthal because they got damn eyebrow high stick out. Like, dude played for the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, I forget his name. He got that shit. And that's exactly what I think about every time I see him.
Send
the
me something, Sean Ray. Send me something so I can have your contact again and I can send you something when I pull it up again and show you what I'm
But I want
about.
You to start, look at the features, not the skin complexion, but look at the features
right,
of these
all
people.
All right,
scratch out the one I'm talking about.
I do understand.
The statues, some of the statues concrete. They ain't got no, what color is, you know, probably lost the coloration on the goddamn statues. So what are you going to look at then? That's what I'm talking about. Look at the features.
What I'm going to say is like, okay, everywhere these people are, whether they, you know, come from China or wherever they may live right now, the first people over there that looked like those Chinese people, they was black people that looked like those Chinese people. They just, like you said, they've been lightened way up almost to a point where they look white, but they still got the phenotype. But if you would have put, if you would have go ahead and redarkened them all up, it would still look like black people with Chinese eyes. We was the first black Chinese. We was the first black Japanese.
Okay, why you don't look
black
like
Asian
okay, here,
people on the planet.
Okay, here,
we move
okay,
all over the planet.
You got the dark skin. Just
not...
check it out. Okay,
huh?
When you got the dark skin, why? Okay, you got the dark skin. Why don't you have a facial feature? Why don't you have a feature then? Since you still dark skin.
I didn't come from that region
they
of
had
the world.
Features. No, we talk about a lot of people that black people that's over here talking about we the Aboriginal indigenous people over here. Okay, how would they have the features, even though now they've been mixed in, they got lighter skin, but their features still mm-hmm. look like these ancient statues and all of that. Okay, you got the dark skin, but you have none of the goddamn other features that look
no,
like
our
that.
Features are way more ancient than their features. Okay? You gotta realize that.
Well, how come we can look like
our,
the other people
our
on
natural,
the monument?
Your
skin,
feature,
that's
my feature. Is way more ancient than any other feature. I'm just
so
telling
why don't your
and
features
then,
though? I'm saying why? Okay, why don't your features look like some of these ancient? Like they find these ancient monuments and stuff way over here, a long time ago. They don't found some. Why don't your features look like none of those ancient monuments and statues?
They,
that
they do. A lot of times you might not know. A lot of times they do, and they'll cover it up, or they won't show it to you at all. They'll just show you the leg, or they'll just show you the arm. But they ain't going to show you no face.
Wow. I don't know how the fuck I'm seeing, man. I don't know what books I'm getting.
Look, I've seen
damn.
So many legs
maybe
and
I'm,
arms. There's so many
I'm
faces.
Special.
I'm just saying.
Hey, maybe
like
I'm special. I'm actually looking at I'm looking at a mummy right now, Dave. I'm actually looking at a mummy they found. God damn.
And Kemet, when you seen King Zoser inside his tomb and all that, and they look and you looking inside of his tomb and you see his face, and it's his real body, his real skeleton, and it's a black man, no doubt, undoubtedly, looking right back at you.
But you
that's
talk
an
about
ancient,
some woman.
But that's in Africa, brother.
That's in Africa, though. That's in Africa. I'm talking about over here now.
They got them in South America.
You get what I'm saying, though, man. You know what I'm talking about, David.
The evidence points to South America for those black artifacts that you would find in Africa the same way. You would find the same ones in South America. And if they were to tell the truth, you would find them over here, too. And I'm digging for them. I'm going to find them myself. They over here.
Okay.
Hey,
you,
want
you get what I'm saying,
show?
Though,
no,
Dave.
I'm up.
I don't know y'all. It just, again, we're getting caught up on colorism. And we're looking at the nationality and the people. That's why, even again, you see Europeans like, hey, man, them motherfuckers ain't the same. But, for a matter of fact, they go back to the Jews again. Now, even over here in America, Klan. Now, you got so-called European Jews that came over here to America, that even over here today, what do Klan still say? Because like they ain't talking about when they say we hate the Jews, they ain't talking about the brothers and sisters like brothers like my Dave and myself saying, hey, we are the true Jews. They talking about them European Jews that y'all see in New York with their big hats and all of this stuff. They talk about them. They sick of they. What do they say? We hate niggers, we hate Jews, and we hate spits. And so when they say niggers, you know, they damn near, they're trying to say us. But that's what they say, they hate Jews. Well, wait a minute, why would they be hating Jews? Ain't the Jews that we know of, we see around here, ain't they white? Well, we consider, we might put call them white. So why would those white southern redneck Klansmen be hating other white people? What they hate them for? Ain't they the same? Ain't they European? And the European Jews, and we call them European Jews, and then those so-called Klan members of now, then they descend from Europe, then they descend from England, which is in Europe. So why in the hell they hate them? Ain't they the same? Why do they talk about they hate niggers and Jews? Why would they say that? They don't know. They say they're not the fucking same. They don't like. They don't. They know. It's like again. You see Syria, and you look at the people in Syria.
They look just like the motherfuckers over in the UK. We looking talking about skin complexion and whatnot. But them motherfuckers be banging on each other, killing their ass like a motherfucker. Like tonight, right now, United States, damn near about to go to war with Russia. Why would them goddamn Europeans and Biden and all them be talking about going blowing Russia at them? Them white folk, why they ain't getting along with each other? I'm just asking the question, you know, hey. The Irish, all them people, why the fuck are they doing the Irish like that? What, weren't they white? But see, this is, again, they like to, they don't look at each other the fucking same. Nigga, you ain't down with us. You ain't us. They don't look at us, you know, down somewhere. But you look at them, they bang on each other. See, we want to put everybody in our midst. It's like the thing, too, with reparation. Number one, again, you're not going to win. You talking about reparation. I don't know why I'm throwing this in there. But if you don't look at nationality, you're just looking at black. And this is how they people get their nationality because they were, I mean, get reparation because of a nationality. You just throw everybody in that is black. So you got, just say, well, you got a dark-skinned Mexican. You go, I'm black. You got goddamn reparation, too. Now, nigga, you a Mexican. I'm black. Y'all said black people can get reparation. I got dark skin, too. Like the East Indian over there, they were talking about. They come on, hey, I want my reparation in America now. You've been living in dark skin. Hey, I want reparation too. My ancestors were enslaved. They were black.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody with dark skin can get reparation. Got dark skin. They're black. Well, we consider black, eh?
All right, so I get where you're going, and you're making some very good points. And I'm not saying that there weren't different types of other people here, and I'm not trying to claim that we're all of the people. But what I'm saying, I'm making reference to, is that there were different types of tribes, different types of people that were living amongst each other, and our phenotype was one of those types. And we lived all up and down the Eastern Shore, all up and down the East Coast and around Texas and even in your state. We lived everywhere, Virginia, you know, everywhere. So we didn't live in other places where those other people from other tribes, where they dominated or they made home for themselves. So we kind of, like I say, we like living near water. They didn't care to live near water so much. They live in the desert. They live in the mountains. They live in the Grand Canyon area, whatever. They, you know, certain other people, they will make do whatever they, wherever they can exist. So the straighter hair people, they weren't the ones doing all the building of things. They weren't the ones erecting pyramids. They weren't the ones creating all kinds of wonderful big, you know, things and holding it down and have a great civilization. It was the people who did that, established that, was the original people and the people with the most knowledge, the most melanin, the most know-how, and the leaders of the planet, which were the black people of the planet, who ran and held down everything in the planet for the last 2,000 years up until recently. So, I'm just saying, we don't give ourselves enough credit. We give other people too much credit. And they are Johnny-come-latelys, and they've, a lot of kids, in most cases, they've been watered down to a certain point to where they are. The original people of that land, before those invaders came there and started mixing and winning wars and beating and killing off the black men and lightening up their race and continue to lighten it up until you can't see that there was black anymore. So, you know, this is just part of how things go. Everywhere black people are, trouble comes from other races of people who don't want to see things our way, and they want to impose their views over us and on us. And we end up falling victim to a lot of it. If it's not by war, it's by some kind of crazy ill philosophy that we are still just say, okay, we'll say, okay, whatever you say. instead of standing up and fighting for what we believe in, a lot of times we don't stand up and we let somebody take us over just on some simple talking points.
Because I'm saying a whole, the book here, I got a whoop looking at world geography, the earth and its people. And I see a lot of different people on here. I see some dark skin, what we know is Africans. Can I see a couple of dark skin? I see a dude like he from Turkey, dark skin. A dude, I don't know where in the hell he from. He got, kind of reddish skin. And those they used to call the Indians redskin, well, the Europeans did. But, you know, and then this other lady, she almost like an Eskimo almost or something, or a Mongolian. And she has dark skin. Damn. But they don't look shit like what we say that we are today. They don't look like nothing like us. But the Africans do. And that's what I'm getting at again. When we talk about these, I'm just maybe just me, y'all. Maybe my mind is just distorted. But when I'm starting to look at shit now, really look at shit for myself, when I'm beginning hearing people keep saying that we are these people, we are that people, we this here, the black this here, black so and so. When I start to look at people, you know, when you go places, you start to look, you go in places like you're not familiar. When you start looking around, you start to look for people who look like you. You know,
mm-hmm.
especially you know you start to look like you and shit. Like especially you go to a place and you damn near see ain't nothing but all white people in this place. You start like, God damn, I'm gonna find me one black brother. You know, so you start to look like people who look like you. So even in history, when we talk about we were the people that was over here, I'm trying to look at these people who look like me. Like again, now my grandmother, like I stated earlier, I had two of my grandmothers. You know for not a shadow of a doubt that they had what we call Aboriginal. They look like those people I'm talking about with the cheekbone. Hell, they actually look like they could have been held some Mexicans or whatnot. I'm not really just saying Mexican, but you can tell when you look at those statues and the images that you see what Aboriginal people look like, you knew for it. It wasn't no goddamn doubt. That my grandmother then had that bloodline in them. You've seen it, they bone structures. You saw it. Nobody else in my family, my children didn't even have those features like that. And then one of my grandmother, I asked my mom and I was trying to ask them because they don't know too much history of it. But both of them passed away now. May the peace and blessings be upon them. So I was trying to get some information about them. Man, y'all don't know nothing about their history like. He's like, well, no, only thing I know is that one of my grandmas said her daddy did she say her daddy? Damn, something that their daddy was, something that one of them had a Native American mother, a white daddy, or something to that degree. I forgot how it went.
Mm-hmm.
But you seen her, you knew, but my grandmother had that dark skin. She had the dark skin. But despite I'm talking about the dark skin, she had damn features. I got statues in my house right now. I got some statues, some figurines that I forgot when I was working of the Aztecs. I got the Aztec statues. I got a Maya. I don't know what the hell another from Peru, something. Features that look like that, I can go right out and down the street down there. And there's a trailer park down the street. I'm not trying to make fun of trailer park. But that's where a lot of Hispanic guys in Memphis, some of them living it over there. I can take this goddamn thing and put it up to one of their goddamn faces. Look just like one of them. Look just like one of them. I can't take this motherfucker around there and what a dude with them other black folk, and I can't see us now.
Here's the thing.
Find us.
You know, you might say that, but it's really the mind. It's like almost like,
I'm around us all the time, brother. I don't see us when I'm looking at these ancient statues and shit. I look at a whole bunch of shit, man. Where Discovery, not just Discovery Channel, but I look at a lot of shit, man. And I see these ancient monuments.
We can't claim everything because there were certain other tribes that definitely did what they did, and
show us two of us. I'm saying, but everything that we can find.
where we at, man? We should have, okay, you see more things that look like them. Come on, if we were already over here before they were or whatnot, or even in the midst, brother, come on, we should be able to see some of it. Something look like us. Like, that's why I keep on telling you about my grandmother. Number one, because she had that mixture because of Cherokee did the slavery and shit like that. The Cherokee, the, what was the other tribe I had said there? The Choctaw and all of that. There's a book. Black slaves, a black Indian. And you see the mixture. It's a book on Amazon.
I'm going to tell you. I met this Indian lady here, and she didn't know. I just laid her right on her. I said, oh, you a native. And she just looked at me, but anybody else would look at her as an African-American. But she knew exactly that I knew exactly she was 100% full-blood Native American. But anybody that would see her hair was straight, and she was an older lady, so her hair was gray. But it was her own hair, and it was long going down towards her back, you know. So, but her features looked African-American slash, like, when she kind of had, like, a chinky-looking eye, some like that. And her bone structure was more like you would say and describe as a Native American. She did tell me she was 100% a Native American and that she was from the South and that, she gave me a little history that our people mixed with, she said her Native Americans mixed with black people, like it was nothing. Like it was just, we saw that we had just everything in common. The only thing was different was just how our hair looked. Once we start talking, we all talk the same. We all talk to each other the same. We all showed each other the same kind of respect and love for each other. So we didn't see each other other than brothers and sisters and same kind of people just with different hair. We didn't even look and care about your hair was a different way and mine was a little different. We looked at each other, and we intermarried in each other's family. And it was like it wasn't even a problem because we had everything in common. And so,
okay, but why she say that they mix with black people?
Being native here and being so they had this so-called chattel slavery at the time when they were mixing with the native and they were running off for running together and because they were all being called niggers. I mean, even the Native Americans, the whites would look at them and call them niggers and still do them the same they would as any other black person because, like I said, you couldn't tell them apart. And they started to call all of the Native Americans niggers at a certain point and declassify them as Native Americans or Indians and then begin to call them all colored. So now you've lost your classification as a Native or Native American or black Native American or whatever you might want to call yourself and been reduced to being a Negro or a colored person, but now you cannot claim any kind of tribal groups or anything because if you do, then you'll be treated in another kind of way, which would be to kill you because that's what the whole idea was to erase your culture and your history and combine it all in the big one big thing that they created for us, which was a false reality and a false history. So they call us Negroes or niggers and coloreds and all these things to reduce us out of our culture, whether we came from another place, not Africa, another area of this country or islands around thereby or even over from the motherland of England or France or Scotland or somewhere. Wherever we might have came from and intermixed with the Native American blacks that was here that we know as how we look at each other. Like, I mean, I've known a lot of black men who married with Native American black women who they was 100% a Native American, and they married this beautiful, beautiful Native American black woman, and anybody else on the street can see she's a Native American, but she's been reduced or declassified as such. They only calling her African American now. They only calling her a Negro now or a colored person, when you can obviously see this is 100% full-blooded Cherokee Indian woman here, or Blackfoot woman here, or, you know, another type. But they made all of that go away. Like, right now in this country, with amongst black people have all kinds of Native American running through them that you can't bring forward. But I can see it a lot in a lot of cases. I can actually see that these people are more indigenous to this part of the world than in Africa, these black people here. Most of these black people here look like they're more from this region of the world than from Africa, if you look at it, if you really look at it. Then there are those here that look like they are indigenous to here and could have been here for a very long time, even though they may look like they have come from Africa. They may have come from Africa a long time ago before, but they may have been or had roots here for hundreds and hundreds of years. So you never can say, because like I say, there was people who spoke like 10,000 languages all up and down North and South, all up and down North America. And all, you know, all throughout North America, people spoke 10,000 different types of languages.
Hey, Justice, Kai, do you believe in the tribe of Shabazz?
I heard the story, and, you know, I've gotten that lesson, the lessons of the tribe of Shabazz. And I would say that that holds some weight. I would say it has some weight. It holds some weight. Yep.
The reason why I asked, and I don't know if you can bring out that clip. If you're real dark, you should have straight hair. And that nappy hair was a curse.
I remember that.
And I was wondering, do you agree with that, Justin?
Well, I mean, like I say, it makes sense. That whole tribe of Shabazz story makes a lot of sense. So we are 50,000. Let's just put it this way. We could possibly be a 50,000 year old.
Do you believe that curse? Do you believe that?
I never said that I did. I never heard it said that way. I've never heard Minister Farrakhan or anybody say that that was a curse. I never heard that. Okay.
Did it.
Okay.
Hey, brother. Hey, Dave. And it's in one of the book. I thought it was in the Message of the Black Man or somewhere too.
That's the fall of theology of time. Also, which he talked about that. He said, Elijah Muhammad said that your hair on your head would be strange. Hair on your eyebrow. All
right. So,
and you know what?
From what?
Every day when you ask that question, I've seen that. Somebody, it was the research that was done to broke down the tribe of Shabazz, you know, and it's funny, you know, if you do it, I've seen it before. I might try to find it again. You know where that shit take you today, don't it? It take you to India, Dagestan area. What they said Farah was from?
India. And you know what? That's why Wesley Muhammad didn't want to debate Paul Guthrie. He said he was Hindu himself, Paul Guthrie. And he said that Travis Shabazz is pretty much the nation of wild doctrine, pretty much doctrine of the Hindus. He said with the numbers, he said all of them. He said that all goes back to the Kama Sutra and the numbers and the six magic in Jamaica. So,
I listened to a debate he did one time, man, with some brother. He wore their ass out. I mean, no harm, no homo. But he kicked their ass. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's why the nation is niggas that have parts in their heads and all that, you know, the little S curls in their heads and shit, because they did. Now, and you know what? I remember when, because, you know, I tell you, I was a student for over five, six years. And then I joined the nation, but I wasn't under spiral conversation. And I remember the temple that I was under, they claimed to follow the Elijah Muhammad teachings and all that, but they ain't follow Farrakhan, no other hypocrite organization. And I remember the minister, it was a brother, a dark-skinned brother, and I remember I remember having my hair, I wear a little fro, you know, a little afro, you know, but I keep it comb back. And I remember him telling me, the dark-skinned brother, you got to cut your hair off. And
what?
But the light-skinned brother, you had parts and shit. Yeah. The darker you are, you got to shave your head. You got to shave. You can't have no facial hair. But I was just that he would never say that shit to the light-skinned brothers. And I noticed that the nation, they don't check them light-skinned brothers on that shit. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dave, I just thought about something right back. We got like 7 minutes left, I think, because I know we came on later. I think Justice agreed with the 12 tribes card then, Dave.
Oh, yeah, he's coming with the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans. Look, him and his
brother. He's saying, because, you know, he said that the Native Americans were actually black or whatever like that. So he damn near agreeing with the 12 tribes shot.
But guess what? This is where they gonna fuck up at. Like you said earlier, they nationality versus their race. These motherfuckers were never slaves. They were never slaves. You get Native Americans is from here.
Move your hand off the phone while you're covering up the
speaker. Deuteronomy 28:68 says that we were brought in here upon slave ships. Native Americans never was brought on no fucking slave ship. So, yeah,
nope.
That's why I said, and Puerto Ricans, they ain't Hebrews, these I don't care how black they is, Cubans ain't, you know,
shit.
Fuck all of them. Dominicans ain't, and Haitians ain't. All the people that fit the description is the dark black American. That's it.
That's right. That's it. I agree with you, Chief, on that. So I don't agree with the 12 tribes chart at all then. No.
I'm just fucking with you, Jesse. But you saying that you know, that they were black, the Native Americans were actually black, like basically like us. I guess what we consider ourselves black. And I'm looking at a damn picture right now with a so-called Native American with dreadlock. Like you're saying, with dreadlock.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. When a white man can't.
Again, he do not look like what we as so-called African Americans today look like. He don't look like none of that, man. They
when
look
the, when
again,
the white man came here,
I took a picture. I took a picture and sent it to you.
It's
like a white dude.
Yeah, there was definitely different groups of people all over the place. So yeah. But we got a foothold on the whole thing and ran the whole everything until a certain point. I'm telling you. Now, before black people came over to North America, Native people looked different types of ways. Over here, they had all kinds of different tribes of people. Now, by the time the 13 and 1400s came, that's when more and more people came from Spain into North America. And they were black people from Spain coming into North America, intermingling and enslaving Native Americans, stringy hair ones, even African American looking ones with feathers and stuff in their hats and, you know, wearing feathers and wearing different types of made clothing that they made themselves. They would come over here and enslave them. and all kinds of tribes of people, those Spaniards from Spain in the late 1400s, early 1500s is when a lot of black people started coming here from Spain. And Christopher Columbus, he was from Spain, and he couldn't have been white because there wasn't no white Spaniards in 1492 that was Moors in Spain. Everybody was black at that point in time. I'm trying to tell you and show you they were all black Moors. You never would catch other kind of Moors except for Arab Moors, the Moor ones that was getting lighter and lighter because of those ones mixing with the European, the whiter, lighter type of Europeans coming down into Spain too. So the blacks is going over there, the Moors, and they said they were civilizing those ones in Spain who had not known how to take a bath good, known how to make their food and cook it and stuff. They civilized them to a certain point, and after they did, they turned the table on those Moors and rounded them up and killed them and hung them and burned them alive and wanted to get rid of every Moor in the land, and they did. They got rid of all of them after a few periods of intermixing with them and intermixing with people from that area that came into Spain and the black Moors. Then they came over here and did they dirt enslaving people, and then the system of servitude got started from England, and this mixture of slavery, brutal slavery from Spain mixing with indentured servitude from England and France, and all this became one brutal bag of chattel slavery in the 1800s for us. And so I'm just saying, black people started coming here, black people, in the late 1400s, early 1500s, into North America as people from Spain who were Moors, and then Jews coming in, Hebrews coming in here from England and all like that. Okay? So that's where you get them. And then they had their beefs with each other, Hebrews and Moors. Jews and Moors always fighting, going at each other in this country and that country and in any country. Jews and Moors never got along. And what they would have to do is fake the funk and say, well, I'm a Moor, and he was really a Jew, or he was a Jew and he was really a Moor. But they would lie about it and have a secret religion. I'm a Jew, but he really a Moor. Okay, they would do that wherever they needed to do it, where they wouldn't be persecuted or kicked out the country again for trying to overwhelm people with their philosophy on religion and the practice of their lifestyle. Yes, sir.
Oh, we got to go ahead and end this because it already ended in this part here of the show. But I don't have to talk to you open. It's not going to be recorded. So we might as well get to end this on this part. It already ended. You just still got us on.
All right. Well, I'm real glad you came on, man. I really was trying to get a text message to you because I had you contact.
I'm gonna send you some in a minute. I got some stuff in here. I'm looking at some articles.
I was hoping you didn't text me. I was like
Native Americans.
I was hoping you hadn't texted me. I was like, man, if he texts me and I ain't respond, he might think there's something wrong or that I ain't respond because I'm not. I'm upset or something.
I've just been doing some other stuff too. So hell, you good. I didn't send nothing. All right, I'm gonna send it to you though.
Okay. Look, I want to apologize for cutting you off tonight. I wasn't trying to do that, but
you cut who off? Nah, you cut me. Nah, you ain't cut me off. You good? We conversating here. Nah, you all right?
Okay.
I'm glad that you see it.
You know how we be doing it.
You know, because sometimes I do like that, to conjure up, thought, just to throw in some what you're talking about, to throw in some thought. But, nah, you good.
Okay.
So, what's your day?
Hey, so, like I said, I'm about ready to get out of here. I'm about to go to sleep, man. I'm tired as hell. And I'll be talking to you tomorrow. We're gonna do something tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we're gonna let's see what we got going on. Cause I'm, yeah, we're gonna see what we got going on.
Hey man, listen here. I know it's gonna be hard for you, but see if you can do yourself a favor. I don't know if you can. You probably won't, and it'll be too hard. But I'm just saying words like that. I'm tired
What's
as it? Hell. It's cold as hell. Everything is hell. Like, what is that? Like, don't you know what I'm saying? You know, look, when you answer your phone, do you go, hello? Hell is low. Like, everything is related to hell here on earth.
But they,
okay?
I mean, not
let's
just,
stop trying to say hell, hell, hell.
So I'm
going to
show you. But I'm gonna give you
you know?
One right fast. See, that's a Christianity
okay.
term.
Oh.
See, that's a Christianity term. They believe in that shit. They make up that concept of hell, hell. Really, Hebrew, like, we don't believe in that shit unless you messianic or something. We don't believe in that, the concept of that whole hell shit, the way you go into hell. That was Christianity shit. And, you know, that's a whole English European bullshit anyway. But so even there, but now we don't believe in that shit anyway. So,
And you know what? If we was going to hell, the flame ain't too fucking far from our face living here.
Yeah, we going through it any goddamn way, like they're living in this
shit.
So, yeah, that's the hell. Yeah, so, nah, we don't really believe that bullshit.
So that's the world we living in. Like, the world that we living in is governed by Satan, and his world is hell on earth.
Yeah, and then one quick thing, like you were saying about the whole thing, I ain't want to cut you off on that, but even what you're talking about the word devil or whatever, say, you know, in Hebrew, we say ha-shaitan, and that only means the adversary. Anybody can be adversary. When you talk about if somebody don't want you teaching the truth, like we be on here trying to teach the truth and they be trying to stop us, that's an adversary. We might say that's ha-shaitan, which is just an adversary. And that could be any goddamn body who in trying to stop you from doing right, you know, living righteous, teaching the truth. And that's what that act is, you know, the adversary. And, you know, that's
Say
why
man,
I like brothers and white man is the devil, because he was always doing shit against the so-called righteous. That's why he used that term. But it's deep. We ain't got time to go through that because we ain't recording.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to get back with y'all. I'm going to get here and take my dogs up.
Real quick. Did you hear the woman only got 2 years for killing Dante, right?
Yeah, I think she's going to do on the 16 months.
Yeah, and that judge was Asian. You see that Chinese judge? She let her off for 2 years and gave some crocodiles here. The judge was up there crying.
Oh, you talking about the white lady that killed that brother?
Yeah.
You know what?
Oh,
it's
man.
It's just like that one dude that they barged in his apartment. I forgot his name, but it was a police officer that barged in his
Botham,
apartment.
Botham.
His family and the judge is all hugging her and shit, Amber Gaga. I'm like, and you know what? And you know what that is? It's because his family foreign. That's some foreign shit. That ain't black. Come on now. You know
damn well
a funky-ass white lady. You're supposed to be. Look, his mama should have been up there knocking the hell out the white girl.
That judge white lady was more. Dante Wright, white mother, was way more like you saying, Chief Rabbi, like a black mother. She was like, look, I thought my white tears would have been good enough. She says, but white women tears from the police, they over Trump genuine tears from a white woman who have genuine tears. She says, you know, white women tears, they trump the tears of a genuine woman, a genuine white woman. She said, I thought my white woman tears would have won this one out, but they didn't. She said it out her mouth.
You know what? She get punished for being having a baby by a black dude. That's what you get for mixing with them nigger, you nigger lover.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But
you know what? We need to do a show on this Sunday. Like I said, none of this ain't being recorded. But we need to do something on this Sunday. Because some of y'all were talking about an Asian. I seen some stuff I was looking at earlier about like these police been killing people. A lot of them, some of them were Asian, Orlando Castile, and it was something else. I've seen somebody else just recently, and it was Asians doing a lot of police doing a lot of this shit and getting off. Yeah, maybe we need to do something on this Sunday, man.
Okay, hey, that sounds good to me.
Hey, Aria, you know what? I'm with you on that because even with that, all this forgiving and shit, come on now. And you know what? And Dante Wright mom was this fat fucking white lady. Like I'm going to tell you something. Like, I don't care how black a white lady act or a white man act. That Vanilla Ice Eminem shit, that's fake as fuck. That's something. And even with the dance fast folk that do all that yo-yo-yo shit, we black folks got to get out of that accepting these motherfuckers.
That's
Know, like, they think y'all got to. Like, I don't give a fuck who it is. I'm going to tell you something. By the grace of Yah, I was, even though it's a blessing, there's a curse at the same time, I can't have kids or to adopt. It's up with all the women I'd have been with, raw and shit, something would have came out. But it's a blessing. Because I'm going to tell you something. These white ladies and some of these mulattoes, fuck that, man. They work. I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason why they don't want the real black woman to be in the household no more. There's a reason for that. There's a reason
Blake
for
Griffin,
that.
Right? You see Blake Griffin, right? All right. How about this boy, Alonzo Ball, and his brother, right?
Yeah.
They real light. They got amazing skills. They move just as athletic as anybody else. They consider the top people. They consider the top, right? And the thing about it is,
Lonzo Ball's a fucking coon. Him and his son's a fucking coon, right?
Dude, they don't look nothing. Hold on, let me finish, Chief. They don't look like they father. And Neither do, like, Blake Griffin and them father. All right, here's my point. Let's say Alonzo Ball, these dudes, and they real light, but they got black, genome, like this, right? So they go and marry the whitest white girl they can find. And now they already pale and white. They just about back in the white race with a black phenome almost, like with a one-drop, half-drop black blood at that point. Or they almost back to pure white race or something, what they trying to do. Like, what's going on?
I'm going to tell you something. I don't give a fuck what you say. I can never accept them fucking mulattoes as black. Hell, my grandmother was mulatto, and she used to say little shit like Blackie, and she would talk shit about dark-skinned people. And I'm going to tell you something. When I got older, I started to understand why. I started to be like, okay, well, damn. So she pretty much half-breed her damn self. So,
they get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. They're going to damn near be white. And the next thing you look up, there's going to be no many black people. You know how many light-skinned people it is? And when I was growing up, there wasn't hardly no light-skinned people. Now, there's so many real light-skinned people all around. Like, when I was growing up in my neighborhood, it was very rare you find some real light-skinned folks. Come on, Chief Rabbi.
And guys, we don't need them motherfuckers either.
I'm serious. People getting lighter, and then they're going to be white again, man. What's going on?
Yeah. And guess what? That's why we got to bring the black nation back. We got to stop mixing in with half-breeds and these motherfucking mulattoes because they fucking up the black race. I don't care how fucked up a dark-skinned person is.
Mm-hmm.
If you come home and you know you've been treated bad and you got a dark-skinned wife and you dark-skinned, she going to understand. even if she's a coon about it. But light-skinned women, light-skinned motherfuckers, yeah, it's a shame how they treat us. Light-skinned motherfuckers is only black ones convenient for them. They can never be all-the-way nigga. They can't. Now, I know I got light-skinned people in my family, but fuck them. They don't have to hear this shit tonight.
I got one light-skinned friend.
They ain't gonna hear it because
my light-skinned friend, my boy, he old head, but he can't stand dark-skinned black people. Like he don't like black women. Like he a real light-skinned brother, and he don't like black women. And he talk trash about black women. And he a high yellow black man, but he always talking bad about dark skinned black people. Go ahead.
And you know what? And light skinned women, they do the same fucking thing too. Like a lot of these mulattoes and shit, regardless of what you say, they might talk all that, I'm black like you. But when the shoe ain't on the other foot with them motherfuckers, they be cooning it up. They be using what they say, the light. If you're light, y'all right. If you brown, stick around. If you're black, get back. They use that shit to the teeth.
I don't like, I ain't messing with no stinking ass black woman or something. He be saying some real derogatory stuff about black women and how he ain't messing with them.
And look, we ain't messing with no stinking ass musty damn dog smelling hot at damn red bones either. They funky ass light skinned women stink just like white ladies. Shit, you could look, and trust me,
I have been with light skinned women, man.
Nah, them damn them whole